జయం శ్రీపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. త్రీలా ప్రవిష్టం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి, అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి, నామాచార్య శ్రీహరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి, ప్రయం సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి, శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపగోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి, బృందావన్ ధామ్కి, మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి, మధురపురి ధామ్కి, జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి, ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి, గంగమాయికి, యమునమాయికి, తులసిదేవికి, భక్తిదేవికి, సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర ప్రేమనింది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది సింబల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది సింబల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది సింబల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురువేంద్ర శ్రీ గౌరాంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద. నమో శుభదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ బుద్ధిలేశ్వరి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నామిని. నమస్తే సరస్వదీపం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షుర్మిళితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టాం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపగదా మహ్యం దదాతి సుపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుధాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం విష్ణవంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాదం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాం సహగణలలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాం చ. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని నామిని. నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవీ గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశధారిణి. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి ఇది నామిని. శ్రీవర్షభానవి దేవి దయదాయ కృపాబ్దయే కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞానం దాయిదే ప్రభవే నమః. మాధుర్యోజ్జ్వల ప్రేమాద్య శ్రీరూపానుగ భక్తిద శ్రీగౌరకరుణాశక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే. నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీమూర్తయే దీనధారిణి రూపానుగ విరుద్ధాపసిద్ధాంతద్వంద్వహారిణి. నమో గౌరకిషోరాయ సాక్షాద్ వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబర సాంబోధే పాదాంబుజాయే నమః. నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచ్చిదానందనామిని గౌరశక్తిస్వరూపాయ రూపనూ గౌరాయదే. గౌరావిర్భవభూమేస్తు నిర్దేష్టా సజ్జనప్రియ వైష్ణవ సార్వభౌమ శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయ నమః. వంశకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధూభ్యైవ చ పదిదానాం భావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయదే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్యనామ్నే గౌరత్విషే నమః. పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూపస్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశాత్వియం. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. జయదాం సురతో భంగోర్మమ మందమదీర్ఘది మత్సర్వశిరసాంబోజో పాదామదనమోహనౌ. దివ్యవృందారణ్యకల్పద్రుమాద శ్రీమంత్రత్నాకర సింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీమద్రాద శ్రీలగోవిందదేవౌ ప్రష్టాళిభి సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి. శ్రీమన్రాసరసారంభి వంశీవటతటస్థిత కర్షాన్వేణుస్వనిర్గోభిర్గోపినాథా శ్రియేస్తునాః. తప్తకాంచనగౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Sri Narada Maharshi, in the Narada Bhakti Sutram, talking about Bhakti Lakshanam, symptoms of Bhakti. That is what we talked last Saturday. Narada Maharshi says that the devotee who has giving some Shandirubad Parama in verse in the Sutram 60, Shandirubad Paramananda Rubacha. He says Bhakti is nature, is that the person is in Shandi all the time. Shandi is the nature of Bhakti. And because Bhakti is executed in Shandi, in peacefulness, and it is relationship with Paramananda Rupam, it is easier to execute Bhakti process than any other processes. Shamo Manishtada Buddhi, Krishna says in the Bhagavatam also. So, you've seen there also that the Narada Maharshi spoke about his life in the when he took birth as the son of the servant maid, and also he mentioned that to Vedavyas that when he saw Krishna first time, it was not outside. Hridyasinme shaneir hari, Narada Maharshi says, I saw inside. Hridyasinme shaneir hari. That is the first statement from Narada Maharshi, not outside. Krishna gave him the reveal himself unto Sri Narada Maharshi inside his heart. Hridyasinme shaneir hari. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will find there. So after that, he mentions there that Premadipara Nirbhinna Plagangodi Nirbhurda Ananda Samplaverino Nabashyam Ubhayam Mune. That because when Sri Krishna appeared inside the heart, Sri Narada Maharshi felt so much ecstasy and happiness inside. Ananda Samplavolinam. That he was fully absorbed in that ocean of happiness, he says, Nabashyam Ubhayam Mune. For him, there was no duality in this world anymore after that. Nabashyam Ubhayam Mune. And he mentioned that Logahano Chindana Garyam Nivedi Dalma Loga Veda Shilatva. He mentions there that one who has surrendered everything to Krishna, material thing or the spiritual aside, spiritual duties, if everything has been surrendered to Krishna, then devotee doesn't have to worry about anything. But this verse, this sutram, can cause sometimes a little misunderstanding also. Why? Because Logahano Chindana Karyam Nivedi Dalma Loga Veda Shilatva. He says, a devotee, how will he manage then if he is so much dependent on Krishna that sometimes devotees get into this difficulty in life? Well, they start thinking that if I give up everything in life and surrender to Krishna and take Krishna's shelter, where is the guarantee that Krishna is going to look after me? How is that? It's easy to say that, isn't it? But when it comes to reality, there's always this question in people's mind. So if it is not done properly, and therefore he quoted the example of Mahabali's in situation, Sarvasam Vishnuve Dattva Mudha Vartishyase Katham. His own spiritual master is telling him, don't give everything to Vishnu, to Krishna. So how are you going to manage yourself? The spiritual master is telling to the disciple. He says, Sarvasam Vishnuve Dattva Mudha Vartishyase Katham. You have given everything to Vishnu, then how will you manage? So Vamana Maharshi proved at that time, Mahabali's surrender was famous in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? One of the greatest surrender in the Bhagavatam. There are many great personalities who have surrendered to Krishna in the same way, Kunti Devi. Then we have Gajendra's famous surrender, Uttaradevi's surrender, and Mahabali's surrender. They are all personalities who have completely surrendered to Krishna and got Krishna's mercy in that way. So when they surrendered to Krishna, Krishna felt that if he has surrendered to me, Vamanamurti felt that Mahabali has surrendered unto me. And Vamanamurti also felt that to take away everything from Vamanamurti without giving protection to him will be breaking his promise, what he has given in the Bhagavad Gita. Isn't it? Ananyas chindayandomam yajanam parivasade tesham nityabhi yuktanam yogakshemam mahamiham. Krishna has given this guarantee that one who has surrendered unto me, then if he is completely surrendered, then it is his responsibility to take care of the devotee. That guarantee is there in the Bhagavad Gita. So Vamanamurti surrendered everything to Krishna. Even after instructed by Shukracharya, he decided to hand over everything to Vishnu and ultimately showed his head for Krishna, Vamanamurti, to put his feet on. Vamanamurti felt at that time that this is not an ordinary surrender. It is somewhat more advanced surrender. That without caring for anyone, anything in this world, Mahabali considered himself and as a surrendered soul. Although coming in the demonic body, he was the head of the Asuras, isn't it? So at that time Krishna says, Rakshishe sarvadohantam swanigam sabirichadam sada sannihidam veera tatramam drishase bhavan. Bhagavadam says like this. Rakshishe sarvadohantam swanigam sabirichadam. Not only that, I will look after you and protect you along with all your associates, family, friends, everyone together. Plus, sada sannihidam veera, I will be outside standing to make sure that you see me there all the time, that I am watching you, I am keeping, I am protecting you at all times. To prove that, Vamanamurti said to Mahabali that I will be outside standing there. Sada sannihidam veera tatrame drishyate bhavan. In such a case, you could always see me standing outside to prove to Mahabali that your surrender was not a waste of time. And that's how Mahakrishna sent Mahabali to Sudalam. And he also gave the promise to Mahabali that in your next kalpam, when you will come as the next Indra, because Indra's position Mahabali has taken over, and that Indra's planet he wanted back to given to Indra. So that's why Krishna had to play all this Vamanamurti's role. But Krishna felt that, Vamanamurti felt that Mahabali is equally qualified as Indra. He is no way less than Indra, and he is qualified to be an Indra. So next kalpam, next mandram, that he was given the position of Indra to Mahabali, which is in the future. So same way, there is other examples in the Bhagavadam, like Sudama surrendered to Krishna, isn't it? And never once Krishna inquired about anything as far as his material situation is concerned. Seeing that Krishna was feeling difficulty, he is in such Dwaraka's opulence and Krishna, Sudama's lifestyle, they were two different poles apart, isn't it? So seeing Dwaraka's opulence even, not a little movement doesn't happen inside Sudama's, because they were in such poverty at home. And Sudama's wife had sent him to go and see Krishna. Never said that you should ask anything from Krishna. And if after seeing you, if he has not understood what the situation is at home, then it's better not to ask anything. After seeing Sudama, if Krishna has not understood anything, and then it's better not to ask anything. That was the agreement between Sudama and his wife when Sudama came to see Krishna. So Sudama came and happily stayed overnight and went back next day. So Krishna was feeling guilty inside. How to send him back like this? Thought about this, and Rukmini Devi also feeling very bad about this, because she is Mahalakshmi. Mahalakshmi, she has come to see Mahalakshmi, and Mahalakshmi, after seeing Mahalakshmi, he had to go back in this way. So when Sudama went back to his home, what he saw there was Krishna's mercy flowing there again in another form. That's what he saw there. Yogakshem. Therefore, Krishna has to make sure that whatever he has spoken in the Shastram is true in relationship with a devotee. So after saying all that, he saw there, Ahararartam samihedam yuktandal pranadharanam tattum vimarshade dena tadvijnayi mochade. In the Bhagavadam, Krishna says to Uddhavam, even though one is renounced and he is a devotee, he should earn his living by bicharanam or by begging, or he should put effort into that. It is necessary to maintain this body, because without pranan in the body, you cannot understand tattvam, tattva chinta, and similarly liberation also. So it is then that he said, Vedoktam eva karmano nisangarpitam ishware naishkarmyam labhate siddhim രവചനാർത്ഥ ഫലശ്രുതി. സോ ഈവൻ കർമ്മം ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് എക്സിക്യൂട്ടഡ്, വൺ ഹു ഡസ് നോട്ട് ഫോളോ ദി വേദിക് ഇഞ്ചങ്ഷൻസ്, ഹി ഈസ് ഇൻ ഇഗ്നോറൻസ് ആൻഡ് അറ്റ് ദ സെയിം ടൈം ഹി ഹാസ് നോ കൺട്രോൾ ഓവർ ഹിസ് സെൻസസ്, ദ റിസൾട്ട് ഇസ് ദാറ്റ് ഹി വിൽ എൻഗേജ് ഇൻ വികർമ്മം, നിഷിദ്ധകർമ്മം. And the result of that, that he will commit sinful activities, and from that sinful activities he will have to accept another birth. And he will continue in the cycle of birth and death. But those who execute karmam based on the Vedic injunctions and the offering the results to Krishna, if such a situation, he will come to the stage where he is beyond karmam. So, but even though it is like that, sometimes there is a thing spoken in the Vedic literature about the benefits of going to the heavenly planets and things like that. This was only spoken in order to create some, those who are inclined towards karmam, so that they can perform karmam at least in a controlled way, as mentioned in the Vedic literature. That's why it says here, Naishkarmyam labhade siddhim rojanartha bhalashruti. Naishkarmyam labhade siddhim. He will come to the state of Naishkarmya siddhi. Naishkarmyam means activities which are happening without being touched by the results. Results does not affect that person. I'm not the doer, I'm not the enjoyer, and no ragadvesham will come. That state is Naishkarmya siddhi. He is executing karmam in this world, but I'm the doer, I'm the enjoyer, or any attachment or aversion will not come from that. That is Naishkarmya stage. They will still continue to execute karma. So, Naishkarmyam labhade siddhim. Why? Rojanartha bhalashruti. And this is bhalashruti. Bhalashruti means, in order to encourage that person in the Vedic karma, Vaidhika karma, so that he has to perform karma. There is karma vasana inside. He has to perform karma. So, at least let him perform the karma in such a way that it does not create any karma vasana, or he get bound by those karmam. That is why Vaidhika karmam has come. Whole karmagandam is based on this principle. But if one goes back to the thinking about heavenly planets and execute karmam, that is a rojanartha bhalashruti. That is just to, just like the mother gives the sweet to the child to take a bitter medicine, in the same way, something is spoken about the some happiness in the heavenly planets, what he can enjoy by the result of performing such activities, so that he'll get attracted to karmam, he'll get attracted to Vaidhika karmam. Generally, why do we perform karmam? To get results from that karmam, isn't it? Without results, nobody wants to do karmam in this world. If there is karma vasana inside, it means that he has a desire to perform karmam, and there is desire for results. Those things are there. So, Krishna saying, the Bhagavatam, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, that when a situation is like that, because he wants results, I have to give him some results, and that is a happiness in the heavenly planets. I'm giving to him for that, so that at least he'll perform karmam within the jurisdiction of Vedas, without going and doing some vikarmam in the world. That was the purpose of that. Naishkarmyam labhade siddhim rojanartham phalashruti. We saw that. And then we also talked about, Krishna says that the person who is has not reached that state. Though that's why he was saying, na tada siddho loga vyavaharo heyaha kindu bhalatyagaha tat sadhanam cha karyam eva. So, here, the question, that na tada siddho loga vyavaharo heyaha, till you have not completely surrendered to Krishna, loka vyavaharo heyaha, then you should not give up your material activities. You should not give up your material activities. Krishna is saying this. Or Sridharada Maharshi is saying this. Till you have not completely surrendered to Krishna, na tada siddhau loka vyavaharo heyaha kindu balatyagaha. Forcefully, you should not give up your material activities. But tal sadhanam cha karyam eva. In other words, you can give up the results of your activities, and you should put the effort to give up the results of your activities. Two things. If one is not fully surrendered to Krishna, in that situation, what he should do He should not give up his material life. In other words, he should not give up his material life. Rather, he should give up his results of his material activities to Krishna, and at the same time he should put his effort, because that is also not possible always, but he should put his effort as best as he can to do that. This is that gradual way of coming to that state of Naishkarma Siddhi. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, one who has completely surrendered to Krishna, he doesn't have to worry. Krishna will look after everything in relationship with his needs in this world is concerned. But one who is not qualified for that, he should. It is not proper for him to give up his material life in this world. Because one who has completely surrendered, for him, he is not, the ownership is not there. I am the doer, doesn't exist. That is a very higher state. I am not the doer. I am not the doer is a very higher state. But one who is in the very lower state, if he starts thinking and imitating that person who is on a higher state, that's not good for him. Because he should perform his material activities as expected from him. But at the same time, he should perform his activities by giving up the results of his karmam to Krishna. He will slowly get released from that bondage of karmam. And at some point in time, when he has offered everything to Krishna, all his results, in course of time, he will lose that identity as the I am the doer. Also, he will leave him. And by giving up the results of one's karmam to Krishna, what happens is Bhoktrutva Buddhi will go. That means I am the enjoyer will leave him. In course of time, Karmatyagam and Kartrutva Buddhi will go. Karmatyagam means all his karmam will leave him, and Kartrutva Buddhi, all I am the doer, ownership, I am the doer will also leave him. This is why this Karma Yogam is so closely linked with bhakti process. That in bhakti, first thing is that get the karmam right, karmam sorted. Because all these things is, we discussed in the Bhagavad Gita also, within the field of karmam, which is under the control of maya, we cannot escape from there unless the rules and regulations are followed strictly. It's not going to happen. So therefore, Krishna has instituted Karma Yogam in Bhagavad Gita in such a way that those who cannot straight away take to Naishkarma Siddhi, complete freedom from the karmam, the option left for them is to give the results of their, execute their, till they surrender completely to Krishna, completely coming under Krishna's shelter. They should keep on continuing their material activities in this world, but at the same time offer the results to Krishna. By offering the results to Krishna, what will happen is that desire for results will leave him. He will lose that desire for the results, or bhoktutva buddhi, that will go. And continuously executing in that way, kartrutvam also will leave him after a while. And that is the stage when he is in a position to surrender to Krishna. That till that happens, he should continue with the process of offering the results to Krishna and giving up this selfishness, activities based on selfish interests. Krishna says that, Uddhava, ahārārtam samīheda yuktam dal pranadharanam tattvam vimrśade tena tadvijñāya vimuchyade. Uddhava, you need this body to do the tattva-chinda, and at the same time, ahārārtam samīheda, that for the sake of food, one has to do something in this world. Nācared yastu vedoktam svayam ajñu ajirendriya vigarmanāhya dharmena mṛtyur mṛtyobedi mṛtyumbedisam. Then, one who does not follow the Vedic injunctions, he will ajñā, he is ignorance, and he will have no control, ajirendriya, no control on the senses, and he will perform activities which are forbidden, and the result of that, he will commit sinful activities and will roam around in this material world for many, many lifetimes. So there Krishna mentions that without expectation of results, that nisangarpitam ishvare, offer everything to Krishna. And in Krishna, Avirhotra Maharshi says this to Janaka Maharshi, Janaka, King Janaka also. And till one is in a position to offer everything to Krishna, he should perform activities in such a way by offering the results to Krishna. Till one can offer everything to Krishna and surrender to Krishna, one should offer all the results of his activities in this world to Krishna and escape from the reactions from that karma. That is the Karma Yoga process. After saying that, Sri Narada Maharshi says in the next one, 63, Stri dhanam nastikam vairi charitram na shravaniyam. He says, Stri dhana nastika vairi charitram na shravaniyam. Just like Krishna says to Uddhava, that the same thing, isn't it? Stri nam sri sanginam sangam tektva durada almavan. Krishna was talking to Uddhava. Therefore, he spoke in that way, that association with women and association with people who are always absorbed in the thoughts of women. Both should be avoided. That's what here also in the same way says, because it was all spoken towards men, it was spoken like that. Equally applies to women also in the same way. That stri dhana nastika vairi charitram na shravaniyam. Stri, women, and then dhanam. Sri means about them and describing about them and their glories, the continuous discussion about that. And about wealth, this is also very prominent in the material life, isn't it? We discuss always about wealthy people, what they did, celebrities and all kinds of characters like that in this world, what they are doing in this world. That's what the main discussion is. What a poor man does, nobody discusses. What the wealthy man does, everything is reported in the newspaper, in the tabloids, everywhere. So that is common among the materialist people. They will discuss women, they will discuss about wealthy people. And then what else they will discuss? They will discuss about nastikas. Nastika means if anyone comes out with a theory defying Krishna's existence or God's existence, he'll be broadcast everywhere. There'll be no fault. He's a scientist, he's a thinker. So he's thinking. So it should be told everyone how intelligent he is. There's so many examples in Oxford, Cambridge, everywhere. You'll see some people coming up with some weird ideas about God. So, stri dhanam nastikam. Then, vairi charitam. Then, those who were insulting and offensive to the Vedic knowledge. To the Vedic knowledge. Vedas are not asking anyone to follow that. But the knowledge in the Vedas, unless you are able to prove otherwise, prove in the sense that it is coming from a transcendental level, isn't it? Beyond the senses, beyond the mind, beyond intelligence. From the platform of the soul, Krishna is talking about. Many things in the Upanishads, Brahma Sutram, all is in that state. Without understanding anything else, simply criticizing them and saying, condemning them, is also Krishna's, Narada Maharshi says, one should avoid. One should avoid. In other words, after understanding Upanishads, Brahma Sutram and all, still, if you are having questions about the existence of God, then it means that they have been understood so deeply. Convincing is the philosophical conclusions of the Upanishads, that the sages who have revealed this information to us, which Krishna has taken in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedavyasa Maharshi has taken in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and many other authoritative conclusions of the Vedanta philosophy, is convincing to those who have that frame of mind, who can understand these things. But quite often, what do we see? They study this literature and they become inimical to that. They start evaluating that. This is not for evaluation. Vedas are not for our evaluation. Whether we evaluate or not, Vedas can stay on its own. It doesn't need our evaluation and comments and our scrutiny on that. But in universities and all, what's happening is they take this Vedic literature and then they give their own evaluations on it. None of them have any faith in any of them. That they don't even think that it is practical to realize the truth. They think it is some kind of some people in the forest, according to their own understanding, they wrote some books and released to the public to do what they like with it. So some kind of misunderstanding about it. They never understood properly. What is Vedas talking about? That the conclusion of the soul, Kathopanishad and other Upanishads talks about that soul, what inquiry, the most important inquiry in this world is spiritual inquiry. And that inquiry is what Upanishads are talking about. So it says here, Stri dhanam nastikam vairi charitram na shravaniyam. One should not hear them even. All these four things. Talking about women and their happiness through that. Then dhanam, all the wealthy people and their activities. Nastikas, who are actually who are actually defying God's existence and Vairi, who are inimical to Vedic conclusions. So, although it says here that one should not give up material activities, although he says here bhalabhisandhi, that means without expectation of results one should perform, Shastram has not given freedom to engage in any kind of material activities. We should not perform activities which are opposing to the his sadhana, and also not absorb in activities which are not in line with the Vedic conclusions. Such engagements is to be should not get absorbed in that. For example, when one engages in sadhana, he has to keep the chittavritti to the minimum that is necessary, isn't it? Not to allow unusual thoughts to come inside. But if we engage in such activities where we are completely absorbed in the all kinds of nefarious activities in this world, that's not favorable for sadhana. So while executing sadhana, one should be conscious of that such activities are not destroying his own sadhana. That is to be taken care of. So the main obstruction in sadhana is this lusty desires inside. As far as man is concerned, woman is the attraction, and for the woman, man is the attraction. Because all the people who wrote the Shastram, they were men. So therefore they mentioned women here. Therefore they mentioned women here, because all the sages who wrote the Shastram, they were men. But on the other hand, you can see in Shastram, there were great personalities who were women, who were great devotees. Particularly certain perfect examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam, starting with Kundi Devi, Devahuti Devi and so many others. Devahuti coming from the most royal family, Swayambhu Manu's daughter, isn't it? Devahuti Devi's life, if you read, the standard of life she had, but she married Kartama Prajapati, who had nothing, absolutely not a penny in the hand. But what was that? Devahuti Devi's culture was such that she understood what is tapodhanam, that is, he had the wealth of austerity, what Kartama Prajapati had. So Devahuti Devi, Kundi Devi, you can see all these personalities. Now, from them, we have to understand that Krishna has spoken, the sages have spoken these things because it was written by men. Men have spoken about this in relationship with audiences, men. But that does not prevent the women to become as good as men in their spiritual life. Nothing is stopping them from coming to that state. So that is the beauty of bhakti process. And above all, who else? The gopis of Vrindavanam. Gopis of Vrindavanam. So, Srinarada Maharshi, after saying all these things, as the best example of devotees, Narada Maharshi calls gopis as the best. Yatha Vrajagopiganam, he says. Gopis of Vrindavanam, best devotees. He puts it like that. So obviously you can see Srinarada Maharshi has no partiality there. What he wanted to say that for men, the attraction in this world is women, and vice versa also. So, but he wanted to say here that even for men and women, Stri and Shudra, for the women and the lower class of people also, that it can be executed by anyone in this world. He wanted to mention this, the glory of bhakti. Bhakti process is accessible to everybody. Not that only you have to have great qualifications for bhakti. All that require in bhakti is surrender. That's the key to bhakti. If there's no surrender, there's no bhakti. That's as simple as that. Bhakti process is so simple that if one can surrender to Krishna completely, then he is the best devotee. Everything else, sadhana, everything comes later. But that's what Krishna is saying here. So we have to only understand it like that. An example of that in the Bhagavatam, you will see there that Ayla's story, isn't it? Ayla's story is famous in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam, while we discussing about this Navayogi's discussions with King Janaka Nimi, there is a mentions there. Stri Shudra Tulkadhado Shravana Virahido Asadam De Dayarham. That many people in this world, they require Krishna's mercy particularly. Why? ಹೂ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ಲಿ ಸ್ತ್ರೀಶೂದ್ರಾದಿವಿ ಸ್ತ್ರೀಶೂದ್ರ ತುಲ್ಕದಾಭಿ ಶ್ರವಣ ವಿರಹಿತೋ ಆಸದಾಂ ದೇ ದಯಾರ್ಹ ದೇ ಡಿಸರ್ವ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ ದಯಾ ದಯ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಮರ್ಸಿ ಸ್ತ್ರೀಶೂದ್ರ ತುಲ್ಕದಾಭಿ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದೇ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ನೋ ಆಪರ್ಚುನಿಟಿ ವೆನ್ ಟಾಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದ ಟೈಮ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಹಿಸ್ಟ್ರಿ ವೆನ್ ದೇರ್ ವಾಸ್ ಲಿಟಲ್ ಆಪರ್ಚುನಿಟಿ ಜನರಲಿ ವಿಮೆನ್ ಸ್ಟೇಡ್ ಹೋಮ್ ಇನ್ ದೋಸ್ ಡೇಸ್ ಇಸ್ನೆ ವಿಮೆನ್ ಕಮಿಂಗ್ ಟು ವರ್ಕ್ working life and the modern society is so different from the society when shastras were spoken. Varnashrama dharma was followed rigidly those days. So it at that time naturally they had no opportunity to associate with great devotees any time. So stri shudra tulkada abhishravana virahito, they cannot hear Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or any of the shastram very freely like today. Stri Shudra Tulkada Bishravana Virahido Asadamde Dayarham. They deserve Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy they deserve. Because unless Krishna shows some mercy, it is difficult for them to take to Krishna consciousness. So Krishna says to Uddhava, Sangham Kuryad Asadam Shishnodara Tripam Kojil ತಸ್ಯಾನುಗಮಸ್ತಸ್ಯಾನುಗಮಸ್ತಮಸ್ಯಂದೆ ಪದತ್ಯಂಧ ಅನುಗಾಂಧವ. ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಐಲಗೀನಂ. ಪುರುರವಸ್ ಫೆಲ್ ಇನ್ ಲವ್ ವಿತ್ ಉರ್ವಶಿ, ಗಾಟ್ ಅಟ್ರಾಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ಟು ಉರ್ವಶಿಸ್ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೇಸ್ ಅಟ್ ದಿ ಎಂಡ್, ದೋಸ್ ಹೂ ಲಿವ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಫಾರ್ ಸ್ಯಾಟಿಸ್ಫೈಯಿಂಗ್ ದೇರ್ ಬೆಲಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಜೆನಿಟಲ್ಸ್, ಶಿಷ್ಣೋದರ ತೃಪಾಂ ಕ್ವಚಿತ್ ಸಂಗಾಂ ನ ಕುರ್ಯಾದ ಸದಾಂ Shishnodaratrabham kochit, who associate with such people, who are simply engaged in satisfying their belly and genitals, sangam nakuryad, one should not associate with them. That is, see, there are many people in this world, isn't it? Generally, householder life is like that, that satisfying the belly and satisfying their sex desire. Sangam nakuryad sadam, shishnodaratrabham kochil. If you associate with them, Krishna says, Tasya anugamas tasyande padatyanthe anugandhavan. If you follow them in society, it is like that. Majority of the society is like that. What will happen? Sasya anugamas tamasyande padatyanthe anugandhavan. If you follow them, just like padatyanthe anugandhavan, a blind man is leading you, a blind leading the blind, in other words. He will go and fall into a pit. Along with that, you will also go and fall into the same pit. That's what will happen. Tatya anugamattamasya andhe padatyandhya anugandhavid. So, from here, you can understand that what Krishna is saying is that one who has attraction towards that, when he say stri, actually what it means is those who are after fulfilling their lusty desires in this world. No matter whether it is man or woman, it doesn't matter. Either way. So, another place Krishna, when we saw that in the 14th chapter, when we discussed Bhakti Yogam, Krishna mentions the same thing. Srinam, Sri Sanginam, Sangam, Tektva Durada Alpavan, Kshame Vivikta Vasenam, Chindayanmam, Atandridaham. Srinam, Sri Sanginam, Sangam, Tektva Durada Alpavan. Then, Alpavan means one who is wants to realize the truth, self-realization. That person, Srinam, Sri Sanginam, Sangam Tektva. He must give up association with women, association with those who are discussing about women. Both, one should give it up. Tektva Durida Almavan. Then, Kshame Viviktama Asinam, Chindayenmam, Atandridaha. He will go to a solitude and absorb himself in the thoughts of the process of self-realization. Chindayenmam, Atandridaha. And remember Krishna. Natatha Asibhavat Klesho. ಬಂಧಶ್ಚಾನ್ಯ ಅಪ್ರಸಂಗದ ಯೋಶಿಲ್ ಸಂಗಾದಿದ ಪುಂಸೋ ಯಥಾ ತಲ್ಸಂಗಿ ಸಂಗದಾಹ. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೇಸ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ನ ತಥಾಸ್ಯ ಭವತ್ ಕ್ಲೇಶೋ. ಸೊ ಬಂಧಶ್ಚಾನ್ಯ ಅಪ್ರಸಂಗದಾಹ. ದೆನ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಸೋ ಡೇಂಜರಸ್, ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್, ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಟಿಂಗ್ ವಿತ್ ವಿಮೆನ್ ಆಸ್ ಮಚ್ ಆಸ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಟಿಂಗ್ ವಿತ್ ದೋಸ್ ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ವಿಮೆನ್, ಹೂ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ವಿಮೆನ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ Such damage will not happen by association with anything else in this world. This is Krishna's conclusion. The reason is this, that this association with women for men and association men for women basically increases the bodily concept of life. This is the reason behind it, isn't it? It is an association completely through the body, not through the soul, completely through the body. So the bodily identity and bodily relationships, bodily attachment will increase with, on the one hand, one is chanting the holy name, on the other hand, he is cultivating this relationship. Na tatha se bhavat klesho bandhaschanya prasangada yoshil sangadyado pumso yatha talsangi sangadaha. Krishna is very categorically saying, nothing is damaging as much as this, he says. This association with the opposite. For the man, the man. Nothing is more damaging than that for his advancement on the spiritual life. So, saying that, Krishna says, mentions that why one should not go after wealth? Krishna mentions that as well. Then, when one engages in activities which are meant for creating money all the time in such dealings, that desire will develop inside to earn more. That is a natural way of the money, influence of the money. And along with that, the desire for sense enjoyment will follow. So that is why you will notice artham and kamam is always connected. Arthagamam, they say. Arthagamam. Arthagamam means wealth and money. Sorry, wealth and fulfilling the desires, lusty desires. These two things go together. Normally you will notice many people who are after wealth, at some point in time they'll fall into the other one. They'll fall into the other side of it. Other side. All the big rich men you can see in this world, who comes in all the newspapers and everywhere, they have this, somewhere there will be something happening. All they may not tell you, but press has to bring it out one day and tell us that this is happening with some such and such a person. So, whether it is a prime minister, politician, doesn't matter who it is there going on behind the scene. So why? Because they have gone after money, and money will create this desire inside. That's why Krishna is saying here that too much of those activities, not knowing that money is only necessary to live in this world. Beyond than that, accumulating wealth, thinking that I want to become a rich man in this world one day, and all those desires, Krishna is referring to that. So, who are the nastikas? Nastikas are those who deny the existence of life after death. Who says that, and they insult the Vedas in that way. Denying the existence of life after death. In other words, as far as they are concerned, life is over with death. Everything is finished. So, because if we accept that there is a life after death, and if we accept the Vedas, then you have to accept the results of karma. You cannot wipe it out because those all things are together. Life after death and the acceptance, the authority of the Vedas, then karma bhalam you have to experience. If it is like that, then you have to have some restrictions on your life in this world, isn't it? Suppose you accept the life after death. You accept the authority of the Vedas. That means you accept the authority of karma, karma phalam, results of karma. If you accept all these things, what does that mean? It means, natural way, you have to have some restrictions and discipline in this life here, isn't it? But those who are attached to belly and genitals, they don't want restrictions. So what they do, they deny the existence of the life after death. That's why they do that. Because they want unrestricted, uncontrolled sense enjoyment here through their sense gratification. So the best thing for them to do is to deny the Vedas' authenticity or deny the Vedas' authority. By doing that, what they are trying to do is justifying their sinful activities of this world. In other words, Shishnodaram, what Krishna says here is that Shishnodara Trupam Kochit, Shishnam Udaram. And fulfilling that. They cannot bear that. Therefore, it is forbidden to listen about their nastikas, their story. And vairi, what Krishna says in that last, stri dhanam nastikam vairi. Vairi means though who continuously criticizes the process of self-realization and the authority of the Vedas and devotees and Krishna. all of them. It's all in the category. Whatever it may be, because that will create vikshepam inside. It will create vikshepam inside, therefore it is forbidden. So, sadhaka. So these four things, women, wealthy people and atheists and vairi, who are inimical to Vedic philosophy or Vedic conclusions. That Sri Narada Maharshi says one should give up. And then the next one, he says, Abhimana Dambhadigam Tyajyam. In the next sutram, 64, he says, Abhimana Dambham Adigam Tyajyam. Abhimanam and Dambham, two things, he says, which are our enemies inside, they should be given up. So, if you hear about the other things, what he spoke in the last one, what was that? Women and wealth, he spoke about that, isn't it? So, in this sutram, he is saying that Abhimanam comes from wealth. In the last one, he spoke about Stri Dhanam Nastikam Vairi Charitram Nashravaniyam, he said. Listen, you should not hear about that. Why did he say that? Because he says here, from the wealth one creates, in a natural way, Abhimanam will come. Pride will develop inside. And what is Dambha means? Dambha means that he himself is not following dharmam properly. But at the same time, in front of others, he will act as though he is a very dharmashta. I'm very religious, in other words. In front of others, he himself is not following anything. He's completely adharmic where they live and maintain their life in this world. And in front of others, they'll present themselves as they are the protectors of dharma. Duplicity, in other words. So that is what Krishna is saying here. That if to do that is called a dambham. Dambham means that that duplicitousness inside. Abhimanam and dambham. Abhimanam comes from acquiring wealth, and dambham comes from this, that the mentality to act in front of others is that he is a very following the is very religious, or in other words, is very following the principles. So when one executing sadhana, if he hears about the wealthy people and you start hearing about their history, then they will take control, they will take position inside our mind. They'll take position inside our mind. And this wealth and bhakti, they don't go very well together. There's always problem. It's not that wealth is against bhakti. Because what happens is, wealth creates this abhimanam inside and it will develop into dambham later. So Krishna says here, dambhadiyam, if you look into Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says, Dambho darpodimanascha krotham parushyamevaja ajnanam chabijadasya partha sambadam asurim. Asuri swabhavam is like that, this dambham inside. Dambho darpodimanascha krotham parushyamevaja ajnanam chabijadasya partha sambadam asurim. Asuri nature will develop inside us. A devotee has to be so careful when we go into all these rich men's houses, thinking that we are giving them association. On the other hand, they are giving us the association. That is the truth. We are not that great sort. When we go there and see all their palatial facilities, servants and fantastic prasadam, everything, we also start thinking, why not I also have something like this? This desire will come inside. And that is why we have to guard against that. Dambam darpodimanascha. Dambam darpam adimanascha. Feeling that because all their so-called religious show is only to show to the world, I am also a religious person. Nothing more than that. All of them are in the same category. They will say that, let's have a party together. Dambam darpodimanascha. Krodham varushyame vajam. And if you question anything, they'll get angry. That's why Krishna says that krodham parushyamevaja. Krodham will come, anger will come, and they'll become very rude to you. Parushyamevaja. Ajnanam cha abhijadasyam. Inside is completely ignorance. No knowledge of the self-realization or the process of the Krishna consciousness. Ajnanam cha abhijadasyam. Partha sambhadam asurim. Arjuna, they all belong to that asuric nature, asuric category. They are asuras, in other words. That is the point Krishna is making. So that is why in genuine places where spiritual life is practiced, when you go there, you will see that difference, that simplicity, truthfulness, and freedom from the influence of the wealth. These things does make a big difference there. Because when you are searching after the ultimate truth, all this is useless. They don't help you. They can't help you also, except they'll create dambham darpam inside. Dambham darpo abhimanascha krodham parushyame vaja ajnanam cha abhijadasya partha sambadam asurim asuividya. He is talking about, Krishna is saying here. So Krishna talked about all that, and then because it is going to cause bondage, Krishna says one should give up. Sadhaka, one who is executing sadhana should give up that association. So if you look at Hari Maharshi, who spoke to Nimi, the same thing, isn't it? Nayasya janma karma abhyam na varna ashrama jatibi sajjade esminnaham bhavo dehevai sahare priyam. Dehevai sahare priyam. It is quite common that the nayasya janma karma abhyam na varna ashrama jatibi. Sir, according to the birth, if one starts thinking that he is higher in spiritual life, or by his activities, none of them, if does not cause any kind of bodily identification, then he is very dear to Krishna. He is very dear to Krishna. What else? Janma karma abhyam, by birth or by his activities. Navarna ashrama jadibi. He does not think that I am in the higher varnam or I am in the higher ashramam. A brahmana can become proud, thinking that I am a brahmana and others are all shudras or vaishyas or whatever. Brahmana can become proud. If does not happen, then he is a brahmana. Similarly, a sannyasi can become proud. Think, oh, I am a sannyasi, he is only a brahmachari or he is a fallen householder, something like that. If he is thinking like that, then Krishna says, I have nothing to do with him. Keep him away. Navarna ashramam jadibi. In institution, all these things are very prominent. This happens because people don't read Bhagavad Gita. They will see what's happening around and they'll follow that without reading anything that is written in the book. So what will happen? In the institution, they create an aura around sannyasis, around so many authorities, and they will create all such things. And we think they're all the ones who are the authorities in the Shastra. But Krishna is concerned, all of them doesn't matter. Krishna is saying here, na yasya janma karma abhyam na varna ashrama jadibi. Varnam ashramam, if he is thinking he is superior anyway, then Krishna says, no, wait a minute. We don't discuss that. That such a person, sajadesvinna aham bhavo dehevai sahare priya. Because if he is thinking that he is superior in any way, he is on the bodily concept of life. That is, dehesvin, dehesvin, sajadesvin aham bhavam. Aham bhavam. He is very much identifying with his own body and he is thinking in that way. Dehevai sahare priya. He is not on the platform of sannyasam then. Dehevai sahare priya. So he is on the platform of the body, and therefore it is not possible, Krishna is saying. Sajadesmin aham bhavo dehevai sahare priyam. One who is released from the bodily identity, who is always staying in that state of simplicity, humility and surrender to Krishna, Krishna says he is dear to him. So all that internal thing must be given up. So then after saying that, and one who does not have wealth, and one who does not have any of these things, there will be no pride in him. Isn't he? He has nothing to be proud about, or proud of then. So there is nothing to be worried also. There is no possibility of abhimanam dambham developing inside. That is the point Krishna is making there. In the next sutram, he says, after taking care of all this inside, he has to be careful about tadarpita kila acharaha san kama krodha abhimanadiyam tasminneva karaniyam. Tadarpita gilacharaha san kama krodhadi krodhabhimanadiyam tasmin eva karaniyam. He says, tadarpita gilacharaha san. After offering all his work to Krishna, all the activities to Krishna, kama krodhabhimanadiyam, kamam krodham abhimanam, lust, anger and the pride, all those things, tasmin eva, in those what who has got them, it should be offered to Krishna. It should be offered to Krishna. All activity should be turned to Krishna. And kamam krodham abhimanam, lust, anger and pride, those things also should be directed towards Krishna. Let's understand what that means. So, one who gives up all his material activities, one who gives the results to Krishna, one should give results to Krishna and should continue doing that till he is able to completely surrender to Krishna. Sarvatmana. Sarvatma samarpanam. In other words, when he is able to completely surrender to Krishna, he should offer results to Krishna. Then also Krishna mentioned before that abhimanam dambam tyajaha. Abhimanam, pride, and dambam, the result of that abhimanam coming to him to present himself before the world as he is religious, that is dambam, that should also be given up. So, when one is executing karma, and even if he tries to give up the results to Krishna, without his knowledge, the person who is executing sadhana, abhimanam will develop inside. This is a very difficult thing, isn't it? I have done that. He may give the results to Krishna, but the pride won't go from inside. I am the doer won't go from inside. It will come back. But you will know this when you execute karma in that way for a while, say for a year or two. If one executes karma in that way, giving all results to Krishna, still you will see one thing, that I am the doer has not left. Results you may have given up, and you may have given up the results to Krishna, but still that pride will come back inside, will stay inside. What should one do in that situation? That is what Krishna is saying here in this sutram. Sri Narada Maharshi is saying here that in such a situation, include your karma also, offer it to Krishna. That means at that stage, don't do anything else except serving Krishna. After that's another stage. After that, first we have to give up the results of the karma to Krishna. When we give the results of karma to Krishna, we get purified, but still that internal pride doesn't leave us. Pride will come up. Oh, I've done all these things for Krishna. I'll feel like that. So that is another stage. And from there, Krishna says, in order that that doesn't happen again, even the karma what you perform, do it for Krishna. In such a way that phalam, not only results, karma also, offer it to Krishna. In other words, not only bhoktratvam, kartratvam also. Not only the enjoyership, but also the doership to Krishna. Actually, as Antaryami inside, Krishna is actually performing the karma through this body. This is the truth, isn't it? We all say that I've done this, I've done that. But from the Shastra we understand that Krishna has performed the karma. It happened through one person. Whatever karma that happens through us, Krishna has performed that karma through this body. That's the way it has to be understood. But still, because the person who is encouraging us to do the karma, prerana, or the encouragement to do a particular karma is coming from Krishna. But still, because of the vasanas inside, how to control the lust, anger, and things like that which is inside us? How to control them? But such desires or such things happens in life, if it is directed towards Krishna, it becomes bhakti. That is what Bhagavatam is showing to us. Gopis had a relationship with Krishna in that way. They had no desire for, they also had lusty desires towards Krishna. But when it turned towards Krishna, it became bhakti. So, similarly, emotions are only one. Some of them becomes lust, some of them becomes greed, some of them becomes anger. But the source where from all the emotions are originating, they are one, the same source. Emotions, when they originate inside, they come from the same source. Some of them take the form of waves of lust, some of them take the form of waves of anger, some of them take in the forms of waves of greed. In different ways it manifests in this world, while dealing with this world. So, actually all of them are our enemies. So, this, how to turn those enemies favorable to us, that is the process Bhagavatam is talking about. And if you forcefully try to control them, they will not surrender. You will come back with much more power later. That's the nature of these emotions. They'll come back with a lot more power. So,
So the easiest way is to do that, is to direct them towards Krishna and turn it into bhakti. Change these emotions to bhakti. For example, any water, whether the water from Ganga river or water from Yamuna river, when they come to the ocean, it's not Ganga water and Yamuna water anymore. It is the ocean, isn't it? So, lust is developing inside. Krishna says, develop it for attachment to Krishna. Attachment to Krishna. And those who are, if you are anger, feeling anger towards anyone, feel those anger towards those who are inimical to devotees or inimical to Krishna. And always greed, if developing, develop that greed for association with devotees. For association with devotees. And if you are feeling that you are not gaining anything, you only take it that there is no profit in life till you get Krishna. Till you get Krishna or self-realization. So all different kinds of emotions. And if you are feeling pride in anything, feel pride that you are a devotee of Krishna. That you are a devotee of Krishna. And if you have to compete anywhere, compete against devotees in bhakti. These are things spoken in such a way that if these things are disturbing you still in spiritual life, actually one should not have any of these. That is the ideal situation, not to have this lust, anger, greed and things like that. But if they are still happening, at least link them with Krishna somehow so that it turns into bhakti at some stage. Later on, it will turn to bhakti. In the early days, those things will be there. Even when we become a devotee, we want to prove to the world, isn't it? I am a devotee and I am somebody in this world. But actual advanced devotee says, I am nobody. That is the pure devotee state. But pure devotees are merciful to those who are not devotees. So they allow all these things and they teach this technique of how to develop devotion, all emotions into bhakti. How to turn everything into bhakti. So if you do like that, Krishna Narada Maharshi says that they will not become any more a problems in spiritual life. Any problems in spiritual life. Is it possible to do that? That is the question. It is possible. That is what Srimad Bhagavatam is saying. And many examples also. Yadyani shodharaidam mano brahmani nischaram mai sarvani karmani nirapeksha samacharaham madarte dharmagamartham acharan madavashraya labhate nischalam bhaktim mayuddhavasanatane. In the 11th chapter, if you look, in the 11th canto, you will see these two verses. Yadyani shodharaidam mano brahmani nischalam. If you cannot keep focus the mind on Krishna all the time, engage, execute all the activities in such a way without expectation of results. And completely dependent on Krishna, one who executes his karma in this world, eventually he will come to the platform that samasta jivitam tadarthe ekhila cheshtidam. In the 11th canto you will see this statement. Samasta jivitam tadarthe akhila cheshtidam. Though all his life is because he has offered to Krishna all his work and activities, even the enemies can turn to be friends later. So, there are many examples in the Bhagavadam who have turned their emotions into bhakti. Into bhakti. In the Saptamaskandam, in the 7th canto, you will see this statement there. Yudhishthira Maharaj was, after in the Rajasuyam sacrifice, Sri Narada Maharshi came there and Yudhishthira Maharaj asked some questions to Narada Maharshi. In answer to that, he mentions there that kamadveshad bhayasnehad yadha bhakti ishvare mane mana avesha tadakham hitva bhagavastadgadim gadaha gopyagamad bhayat kamso deshe chaidyadayo nirva sambandad brushnaya sneha yuyam bhaktya vayam vibho. Sri Narada Maharshi is saying there. So, when this Rajasuyam happened, Yudhishthira Maharaj was present there and Sri Narada Maharshi also came and Markandeya Maharshi was also there. Markandeya has spoken about Ramachandra to Parikshit before, elaborately spoken about Ramachandra's pastimes and history to Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira has heard that. So when he saw Sri Narada Maharshi arrive there, Yudhishthira Maharaj wanted to hear from Narada Maharshi about bhakti, and Narada Maharshi spoke to him about how bhakti is developed in a person's heart. That process is discussed in the seventh canto. Krishna was present there, Arjuna was also there in that same assembly. Arjuna was there, Krishna was there. They were all present, and that's where Sri Narada Maharshi spoke these things. Sri Narada Maharshi spoke these things. And Parikshit asked the question at the end of sixth canto. Question Parikshit was asked. And that is why in the seventh canto, this question came up, that the how come Ajamila chanted the holy name once, he escaped. Hiranyaksha fought with Varaham, boar, and gone back to the spiritual world. Similarly, so many things in the Bhagavatam, Parikshit was thinking that how come they all have managed to go back to the spiritual world. I am still here. I am still here in this world, busy as a king. King means what? Collecting the taxes, punishing people. It's not a very pleasant job, this king's business, isn't it? It's not a very pleasant thing to be a king. It's nice, you'll get a lot of big servants and big palace, everything. But at the same time, mistakes can happen, isn't it? So sometimes you can get the results of your sinful activities also, if you make the wrong decisions. So Parikshit was not very fond of this job, of king's job. So he was thinking that, what has Hiranyaksha done so much that he could go back, and also personalities like Ajamila, he has also gone back, and I am still here. And I have seen Krishna while I was inside the womb, Uttaradevi's womb. So when all these questions came up, Yudhishthira was also confused. So at that time, Sri Narada Maharshi, Sukadeva Goswami says to Parikshit, this question you have asked me now, how come this has happened? Your own grandfather has asked Narada Maharshi. I'm going to tell you about that, he said. And that's how this Narada Yudhishthira Samvadam comes in the Bhagavatam in the seventh canto. You see, the question was coming from Parikshit to Rajavaja, you will see there in the seventh canto. That he is asking this question, how come they are all going back, nothing happening to me? And Sudeva Goswami says to him that the same question in Rajasuyam sacrifice happened. That time, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked the same question to Sri Narada Maharshi, because Yudhishthira's problem was, Yudhishthira was thinking, I am performed the Rajasuyam. Rajasuyam means it is the one of the most expensive and requires a lot of power and courage and strength to do that. And with Krishna's help, Rajasuyam was performed. Yudhishthira performed Rajasuyam. And Yudhishthira was still thinking, nothing has happened to me. Why I am not going back to the spiritual world? He was thinking like that. So he asked this question to Narada Maharshi, was there. So Narada Maharshi replies that at that time. And it is in that instance this secret came out, that what is Hiranyaksha's relationship with Krishna? What is Hiranyakashipu's relationship with Krishna? What is who is Shishubala? Their relationship with Krishna. And Dandavakra, his relations. Ravana and Kumbhakarna, their relationship with Krishna. All these things came out in that meeting in Rajasuyam. And that is how Parikshit understood that bhakti is not only bhakti can happen from different angles. That like that, Ravana and Kumbhakarna came to Krishna in one way. Shishubala came hating Krishna, isn't it? Shishubala came to Krishna, hated Krishna. And that Shishubala became a devotee, bhakta later. That hate has turned into bhakti. Kamsa was fearful of Krishna. That fear turned into bhakti and Kamsa got escaped. Gopis came to Krishna in lust, and that lust turned into bhakti. They became the greatest of all the devotees. Isn't it? Yatha Vraja Gopiganam. So that is what Sri Narada Maharshi is saying here. That even if we have inimical feelings towards Krishna, if we turn that animosity or inimical feeling to bhakti, then we can also go back. It's not necessary. But the only thing is, all these personalities mentioned here in the Bhagavatam, when they had come here, they got the ticket for that from there itself before they left the spiritual world. They came here with that authority. We cannot hate Krishna like the way Shishupala has hated. It is not possible. We cannot be frightened of Krishna like the way Kamsa was frightened. Isn't it? And what to talk about Gopi's relationship with Krishna. They are all on a different level. That is only for selected people have that. Selected personalities. But in bhakti, this thing can also happen in some instances. It does happen in that way. There are examples of that even among human society, the same thing happening. Even among the human society, the same thing has happened. That is why it's important to know this. There are very devotees who related with Krishna in that way. Some devotees used to scold Krishna when they were upset with Krishna. They used to smack Krishna, the deity, that you have not listened to me. There's many devotees like that also. And there are specific personalities like that. But that's not for ordinary people. Ordinary people, bhakti is the process. So here says, Gopya kama dveshad bhaya snehat yadha bhakti shwari manaha aveshyat atakham hitva bhagavas tadgadim yadaham. Then exactly like bhakti process, many others also, through their lust, anger, fear and love, they have directed it towards Krishna and they have gone back to Krishna. Through kamam, lust, gopis, and fear, Kamsa, and through dvesham, through hate, Shishupala, and through friendship, Yadavas, and through love, Pandavas, and through bhakti, we, the sages, Narada Maharshi says, gone back to Krishna. Therefore, Bhagavatam says at that point, tasmad, therefore, kena pyupayena mana krishna niveshayad. Somehow or the other, the mind must get absorbed in Krishna. That is the goal. Tasmad kena pyupayena mana krishna niveshayad. And Narada Maharshi said this to Yudhishthira. So, if all activities is offered to Krishna, and all emotions are directed towards Krishna, Trirupa Bhanga Purvagam, next sutram says, Trirupa Bhanga Purvagam, Nitya Dasa, Nitya Kanda, Bhajanalmagam, Prema Karyam, Prema Iva Karyam. Trirupa Bhanga Purvagam, Nitya Dasa, Nitya Kanda, Bhajanalmagam, Prema Karyam, Prema Iva Karyam. Trirupa Bhanga Purvagam. Trirupa Bhanga Purvagam means the three kinds of bhakti, which means Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamas. Sattvika Bhakti, Rajasa Bhakti, Tamasa Bhakti. All those things, we will transcend them. All these three kinds of bhakti. Nitya Dasa, Nitya Kanda, Bhajanatmagam. In other words, Nitya Kanda, Nitya Dasa. In other words, the love has become a pure stage. Nitya Kanda. Or Nitya Dasa. Or eternal servitude. Completely became a pure servant of Krishna. In either way. And that kind of bhakti one should acquire. Like Prahlada's bhakti was Nitya Dasa, isn't it? I'm always Krishna's servant. Never. You will never see even a trace of false ego any time in Prahlada's relationship with Narasimhamurthy, isn't it? With Narasimham. So pure was that relationship Prahlada had that everyone loved to be a devotee like Prahlada, seeing that surrender in him. Even when Narasimhamurthy asked him to ask for a boon, what did Prahlada say to him? Prahlada says to him, never tempt me to ask for any boon from you. But if ever you want me to ask any boon from you, I'll ask this much, that you never give me a desire not to develop inside to ask for anything from you. Let that be the boon from you. So surrender was such a depth from Prahlada that Prahlada's devotion is glorified all over Bhagavatam, isn't it? That surrender nature, dasya, servant nature of Prahlada. So that is the process what Krishna is, Narada Maharshi is saying here, Nitya Dasa, eternally a servant of Krishna. Or the loving relationship like the gopis had with Krishna, Nitya Kanda Prema. That they saw Krishna as a lover in all circumstances. And they took Krishna's shelter in that way. So both places there is this surrender. There is this love in that way. So in the 56th sutram, if you look, according to Gunabhedam, that means based on the modes of nature, Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa. And also based on the four category, isn't it? Which one? Artho Jijnyasu Arthati. Also, Krishna spoke about these three kinds of three variations in bhakti. We talked about that before, isn't it? Three different ones based on Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa, modes of nature. One classification. Another classification, Artha Jijnyasu Arthati. Artha means one who is distressed, Jijnyasu means one who is inquisitive, and Artharthi means one who wants wealth. Jnani is not included. Jnani belongs to the other category, higher category. So, all these three things we have talked before. So, there is a stage beyond these three that is known as Gunadhita Bhakti. Nirguna Bhakti it is referred to. Gunadhita means that beyond the three modes of nature. So, that bhakti is the goal. A pure devotee is in that state, or a jnani is also in that state. Jnani is in that nirguna bhakti. Or pure devotee also, who has gone beyond the three modes of material nature, he is also in that state. He is also in that state. And that is that is the final goal of a devotee, to come to that state. Nirguna bhakti. Nirguna bhakti as it is called in the Bhagavatam. Kapila Vasudeva says that to Devahuti Devi, Madguna Shruti Matrena Mai Sarvaguhashaye Manogari Avichina Yadha Gangambasombhudo Lakshanam Bhakti Yogasya Nurgunasya Udahradam Ahaiduki Avyavahida Ya Bhakti Purushottame. In Kapilam, when Kapila Vasudeva discusses with Devahuti Devi, there is 8 chapters, chapters from 25 to 33 in the third canto, that is known, very well known as Kapilam. It is a very much like Ekadasha Skandam. Kapila Maharshi instructing Devahuti Devi about the science of self-realization. So when they discuss bhakti there, he says there, Madguna Sriti Matrena Mai Sarva Guhashaye. As soon as you hear about Krishna, immediately you recognize Krishna within the heart of everyone. Mai Sarva Guhashaye. Manogari Avichina Yadha Gangambasobhudo. That mind goes after that Krishna who is present in everyone's heart, exactly like Ganga River flows to the ocean. One's heart goes after Krishna, who is situated in everyone's heart. Lakshanam Bhakti Yogasya Nirgunasya Hudahradam. So, when Lakshanam Bhakti Yogasya, that bhakti in a person's heart is Nirguna Bhakti. Nirgunasya Hudahradam. Ahaiduki Avyavahida Ya Bhakti Purushottami. What is the beauty of that bhakti? His bhakti is Ahaiduki. There is no reason behind it. He is not looking for anything from Krishna. He has come reach that stage. Ahaituki avyavahidam. Avyavahidam means that that there is no distinction there between one living entity to another. All he sees is Krishna in everyone's heart. And simply recognizing that he has developed that pure love for Krishna. It's a very advanced stage of pure devotee's life. Pure devotee's realization, it is, in other words. So, on the other hand, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see there, Jnani is also spoken there in a category like that. That devotee who is in that category is a Jnani, Krishna says. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see that verse. After, in the third canto, what Bhagavadam, where Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi about the devotee who has gone beyond his pure devotee of that stage, which he says here, Madguna Shruti Matrena Mai Sarva Guhashaya. As soon as you hear about Krishna, his mind is always, he is conscious of Krishna is present in everybody, in everyone's heart. Sarva Guhashaya. That is his realization. He is not limiting to the temple deity alone. He is limiting, seeing Krishna's presence in every living entity. Sarva Guhashaya. Whether it is human society, animal society, bird society, doesn't matter. All living entities. Sarva Guhashaya. Manogari Avichina, that his mind is completely gone and he is only focused on that truth which is present in everyone. And that he considered as Nirguna Bhakti. Nirguna Bhakti spoke about that. And to tell us that the fourth state of a devotee who is in that Nirguna Bhakti stage, he is a Jnani. If you look into the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, we will be discussing that, the 17th verse. Tesham jnani nitya yukta eka bhaktir vishishyate. That's how Krishna puts it. Tasham yani nitya yukta, ega bhaktir visheshyate. Priyohi yani no tyartham, aham sacham ame priya. Krishna, if you look in the 7th chapter, you will see this verse, 17th verse. Among the four classes of devotees, what Krishna has spoken. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke four classes, isn't it? Artho, Jnyasu, Arthati, Jnani. So that Jnani is that fourth class devotee, fourth group, which means Nirguna Bhakti, the supermost Bhakti. Jnani comes to that category. Why? Tesham Jnani Nitya Yukta. Eka Bhaktir Vishishyade. Without any external influences or external support, he is a devotee inside. Why? He is in total realization of the truth of this creation and Krishna's present role in that. Tesham Jnani Nitya Yukta. Eka Bhaktir Vishishyade. He is dear to me, Krishna says. Priyohi Jnaninarthartham. Aham Sacha Mama Priya. He is the one who is very dear to me, who is seeing this world in that way, and who relates with that world in this particular way. Priyohi Jnaninarthartham. I am so dear to him and he is so dear to me. That is what Krishna is saying there. Priyohi Jnaninarthartham. Aham Sacha Mama Priyam. Aham Sacha Mama Priyam. So, here, let's... Tesham jnani nitya yukta eka bhaktir vishishyade priyohi jnanino thyartham aham sacha mama priya. Of these, the wise one, who is in full knowledge, in union with me, through pure devotional service, is the best. For I am very dear to him and he is dear to me. So, Krishna is saying there that the such a jnani who has reached that stage is very, very dear to me. Eka bhaktir visheshyade. He is dear to me and I am dear to him. I am dear to him. In other words, he is a jnani and he is a devotee of that category, Nirguna Bhakti. Nirguna Bhakti has happened to them. So, jnani's role, Prabhupada puts it as one in full knowledge of Krishna, in union with me, and Eka Bhaktir Vishishyade. And his realization is Eka Bhaktir. In other words, that Eka Bhakti stage is a very advanced state, isn't it? He is seeing nothing exists in this creation except Krishna. Nothing exists here. It's only Krishna who exists here. And he is not seeing others as conditioned souls or enemies or friends or same, just like you saw that the classification of the devotee who is the first class from the when the Navayogis, nine sages spoke to King Nimi, isn't it? What did he say there at that time? Sarvabhudeshu yapashet bhagavad bhavam almana bhudhani bhagavatesha savai bhagavadottama. You see, in this bhakti process, generally what happens is, because temple worship is also a part of bhakti process, often people will go into temple and they develop this understanding, this is the highest bhakti, of going to the temple and doing temple services as the highest form of bhakti. And not only that, they will start looking at others in a way, oh, he has nothing to do with the temple, so what, why, he's already fallen, he's gone. That's how they will think like that. But this is a misunderstanding. Somehow it happens, and everywhere it happens. It's not in one place. Everywhere it happens. Somebody who is very closely connected with the temple will think that I'm directly in service to Krishna. Everyone else is, he's karmi, making money in this world. Some misunderstanding will come like that about others. And that is why these things, if you study Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam properly, this misunderstanding will go. Misunderstanding will go. That's why Krishna is insisting this. Tesham jnani nitya yukta. That person who isn't realized to me, he is on a higher platform. He never said one place that one who is 24 hours in the temple is the best devotee. Nowhere it's said like that. But it becomes like that in the society. Society develops in that way. Tesham jnani nitya yukta. Any definition of a first class devotee, if you look, you will see there that the sarva bhudeshu yapashen bhagavad bhavam almana Bhudhani Bhagavatyesha Savai Bhagavadottama. That is a definition from Hari. Isn't it? Hari said this to Nimi. Hari says, Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashed. When who has come to that platform of seeing Krishna in everyone, Bhagavad Bhavam Alpana, knowing that Krishna is present them, inside them, and Krishna's presence you are expecting in everyone. Bhudhani Bhagavatyesham. And all those living entities also is only in Krishna they exist. In Krishna they exist. Because Krishna is present there, there is life in there. Otherwise there is no life in anyone. So that is why that realization is a very high realization. That is not normal. Sarabhudeshya Pashet Bhagavadhamalpana Bhudhani Bhagavatyesha. Savai Bhagavadottama. He is the first class devotee. Nimi says, Hari says to Nimi this. Hari says to Nimi, Savai Bhagavadottama. Krishna is also saying the same thing here. Tesham Jnani Nitya Yukta Eka Bhaktir Vishishyate. That Jnani Nitya Yukta, who is always conscious of the situation. What is that? Eka Bhaktir Vishishyate. He's only seeing Eka Bhakti. It's only Krishna in everything, nothing else. That is Eka Bhakti. In everyone, what we see is Krishna. That is, his presence is recognizing and in that way dealing with the world. That will naturally follow. If you have recognized Krishna's presence in others, that means there is no ragam, there is no dvesham, there is no kamam, there is no krotham, there is no ownership, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. All this has gone away from him. He has come to that pure state of Krishna's presence in all. There is only, in other words, there is only the soul exists in this creation. When we say there is only Krishna in everywhere, there is only soul that exists in the creation. In other words, realization is more complete for him. It is complete for him. So that's why it says here, Tesham Jnani Nitya Yukta Eka Bhaktir Vishishyate Priyohi Jnanino Thyartham Aham Sacha Mama Priya. Priyohi Jnanino Thyartham. That Jnani is very, very dear to me and I am very dear to him, Krishna says. That person who has come to that state of realization. Very dear to him and is dear to me. So that is a important verse there. Then Jnani's position. We must not misunderstand that. We sometimes think in our enthusiasm to establish ourselves as devotees, superior to the jnanis. We will say, they're all bogus, they don't understand anything, we understand everything, we are very close to Krishna. This way we may have a tendency to establish ourselves. But in that process, we may offend others, not knowing where they are at the position. That's why Krishna said all these things in the Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna says here, Gunadida Bhakta, one who has gone beyond the three modes of material nature, his relationship with Krishna is in similar way. And similar way, it is the relationship of the Jnani Bhakta also. One who is in knowledge. And they are tied with Krishna in a very strong bondage. There is a very strong bondage between Jnani devotee and the devotee who has crossed beyond the three modes of nature. Was gone beyond the three modes of nature. The interesting thing is, most of us are in the three modes of, all of us are in the three modes of nature. Not most of us, all of us. And out of these three modes, we are in the lowest modes also. Out of the three. And sitting in this lowest mode, we are making judgment about them. Those who have gone beyond the modes. We even forget that we are in the modes. This is the difficulty. So you can see that when how careful we have to be. Even preaching is okay, but if you go and preach all kinds of things, fully taking the authority as everything, and then this can happen. So, servant Krishna, he says here that this is a perfect example. What is the proper relationship with Krishna? A devotee like Prahlada, devotee like the gopis, devotee like Kunti Devi, and so many great personalities in the Bhagavadam. They are all beyond the three modes. They have gone beyond the three modes. Either they are jnanis or they are devotees. But their bondage with Krishna is very strong, very strong. So, and such personalities, take for example Ambarish. Ambarish in the Bhagavadam, isn't it? Ambarish was a king, imagine. A king, but so surrendered to Krishna. So surrendered to Krishna. And such a person, Krishna says, it's my responsibility to protect him. Whether he's a king or he's a pauper, doesn't matter. Krishna says it's my point. The point is, surrender is important more than anything else. It's not whether Ambarish has chanted 64 rounds every day, and somebody, Sudama has chanted only 10 rounds a day. This is not compared like that based on the number of rounds he has chanted. It is the surrender in both of them that matters. Ambarish's surrender was just like Sudama's surrender. Sudama was so poor but so surrendered. Ambarish was so rich but so surrendered. So it's the surrender that brings them as their success in spiritual life. Not that how much sadhana they have performed. Bhagavatam, there is no mention anywhere that Sudama has chanted how many rounds, nothing is mentioned there, isn't it? It's only a sadhana. Sadhana leads us to surrender, must lead to surrender. That's the purpose. But that surrender, without surrender, no matter how long we execute sadhana, it will remain the same. It will not go move further from there. The train won't go. It's just like the a ship which has its rudder strongly bound, but you are working the engine, but that's not moving. It's still in the evening, it started in the morning when you got up, you are at the same place where you started. In the same way, it will remain like that. So, therefore, Prahlada also says there, Prahlada says this in the Bhagavadam, who is the master, who is the servant? Yastam ashisham ashaste nasabhritya savai vanik ashasano navai bhritya swami nyashisham altmana na swami bhritya da swamyam ichan yoyajija ashisham. So, he says here, one who is desiring anything from the master, he is not a servant, he is a businessman. He is a businessman. If proper master-servant relationship is, Prahlada says here, that servant, proper servant, is that he does not desire anything from the master. If he is expecting anything and he is serving the master, expecting anything in return, then he is not a servant. Then he is not a servant. This is the proper understanding of master and servant. In the spiritual world, this is the relationship. In the material world, but it's different. The servant will only say, only if you pay me, I will do this for you. That, and but still, you don't call, you can call me servant, I don't mind. But pay me money, he'll say. So that is the material relationship of servant-master. Spiritual relationship is that servant is does not expect anything from the master. And similarly, it says here, Ashasano Navai Bhritya Swamini Ashisham Almana. If a master is also expecting service from the servant, and then only if he serves me, I will give him something, then he is not the master either. He is not a master either. See how everything gets changed in the material relationship. What we do, we see this in material life and we bring that into spiritual life from outside. That's what we do, isn't it? We say it's like that, that pure relationship in spiritual life between a master and the servant. Master does not expect anything from the servant. Without that, master should look after the servant. Similarly, without expecting anything from the master, the servant should serve the master. This is pure. That relationship is pure. In material life, just the opposite, isn't it? You pay me, I'll do it for you. And master says, you do it, I'll pay you. Otherwise, nothing. And every year we negotiate the salary also, isn't it, for the next year. So, it's a pure business. That's why, actually, he's right. Prahlada is saying the right thing, isn't it? Prahlada is saying, you are doing a business mutually between both of you, master and the servant. I don't want that relationship with Krishna, he says. With Krishna, my relationship is, I'll do everything what I have to do. And even if you don't give me, I'll still serve you. And Krishna's approach is, it is Prahlada for you, whether you have done me anything or not, still it's my duty to look after you. This is pure relationship between Krishna and Narasimhamurti and Prahlada, isn't it? Prahlada was Mahabali's grandfather, and it is from this Prahlada Mahabali learned the science. That is why Mahabali could do that surrender. It says in the Bhagavadam that when he Prahladaschasalgraham, that when he was going to invade or to conquer the heavenly planets, that he went to Prahlada first. Prahlada was sitting there. Shukracharya was there. And after saying goodbye to everyone, he went to Prahlada and paid his obeisances to Prahlada. Prahlada put his hand on Mahabali and blessed him. Say that you go, everything will be okay. Nothing will, you don't have, the war won't be even necessary. There won't be, as soon as they heard that Mahabali was coming, they ran away from the heavenly planets. They left, all ran away, isn't it? So Prahladascha Sadgraha, that Prahlada is such a powerful personality. Prahlada never wanted anything from Narasimhamurthy. If you keep reading Prahlada Stuti in the Bhagavatam, you will see that surrender in Prahlada. To what extent he was surrendered to Narasimhamurthy. And all his conversation with Narasimhamurthy is on this one topic, surrender. On surrender. Therefore, among all the devotees as examples for dasyam, for servitude, Prahlada is the best. Prahlada is the best example. And Yudhishthira Maharaj wanted to be like Prahlada. And Yudhishthira, even when he heard that when Parikshit was born, that Parikshit will be like, he will have all the qualities of Prahlada, Yudhishthira was satisfied. Didn't want to inquire anything further after that. He only wanted to know that will he be a devotee? He'll be devotee like a Prahlada. That's what he said. The astrologers who came. And that satisfied Yudhishthira. So here, you will notice in that sutram, a statement, Nityadasa Nityakanda. Kanda. Kanda means lover, isn't it? One who has a... It's not a relationship between husband and wife in that sense. If it was husband, wife, bhairya, bharta, it would have used. But instead they used the word kanda there. Kanda means the kanda's attachment, the lover's attachment will be a permanent thing in them. There is a very strong bondage there. And the woman who is loved by the man, in his eyes, she is very beautiful. She is very beautiful. And they love each other. And that is why it says Kanda. It is a similar relationship like that between Krishna and the gopis. So therefore he says there, in the Bhagavatam if you look, you will see there, when the wives of the brahmanas came to see Krishna, and they brought all the prasadam for Krishna, Balram and the gopis, cowherd boys, Swagadam o Mahabhaga Asyada Karavamakim. Krishna is saying this to the wives of the brahmanas, Viprabhatni, wives of the brahmanas. Krishna is saying this. Swagadam o Mahabhaga Asyadam Karavamakim Yanno Dudrakshaya Prapta Upabannamidam Hivam. O fortunate women, he is saying to them, O fortunate people, I welcome you. He says, Swagadam o Mahabhaga Karava Asyada Karavamakim, what do you like me to do for you? He says, it's nice that Yanno Dudrakshaya Aprapta Upavannamidam Hiva. It's nice that you have come to see me. Krishna is saying to them, Nanvadhva Mai Kurvandi Kushala Swartha Darshanaha Ahai Duki Avyavahidam Bhakti Matma Priyayatham. He says here that Krishna talks about that Viprabhatni in a different way. Not like the gopis. Viprabhatnis, they already knew what was the goal. They had already fixed their mind on the... They came to see Krishna and Balaram, not the way gopis related with Krishna. Remember, we discussed this in the Bhagavatam classes. Gopis' relationship with Krishna, Viprabhatni's relationship with Krishna was different. Gopis came in a... They were ordinary women. They were not very highly educated like the Viprabhatnis were. So therefore, they required all this relationship with Krishna from a different platform. Gopya Kama, they came out of lusty relationship with Krishna. Attracted by Krishna's beauty and attracted by Krishna's playful childhood pastimes, Gopi got attached to Krishna. And Krishna changed that attachment to bhakti in the Gopi's heart. That's what happened to the Gopis. Vipravatni's case, it was not the same. Because they were the wives of the brahmanas, they have studied shastram enough. And they had great opportunity. They lived a life of based on dharmam and based on the, purely based on the Vaidika dharmam. They practiced. And they also knew what the goal of life was. Unlike the gopis. Gopis had no clue what the life of the purpose of the life was. They were only busy with their normal activities of life in this world. Like they prepared milk, yogurt, cheese, butter, all things, they were selling them, and they lived an ordinary life in this world. But Viprabhatnis, the wives of the brahmanas, were not like that. They had sufficient knowledge of the shastram. They had discussions at home among the brahmanas about the Vedic philosophical discussions. They have participated in that. They had knowledge in them, and they knew what ultimately the goal of life was. So because they were like that, it says here, that... Because you know all those things, Krishna is saying to them, Mai kurvandi kushalaha. You are very experts in all these things. Krishna is recognizing that. Nanyadhva mai kurvandi kushala swartha darshanaha. And swartha darshanaha. That you know what is ultimately the goal of life. Krishna recognizes that and certifies that with them, with those wives of the brahmanas. That's the difference there. That gopis didn't know what is the goal of life in the beginning. But the wives of the brahmanas knew what the goal was. So that's why Krishna is saying, swartha darshanaha. You know your what is self-interest. In other words, one should know one's self-interest in this world. And not that is not selfishness. Self-interest is self-realization. And that is not selfishness. We think like that. Oh, he's very selfish, trying to, instead of serving the world, serving others, he's trying to elevate himself in spiritual life. But Krishna recognizes that more than anyone who is trying to serve the world. One who is trying to look after himself. Because Krishna says, I've sent you here with this body to realize the truth. And you are not utilizing that. You are busy in looking after the world, rest of the world. World I can manage, he says. You don't have to worry about it. If I can create it, I can manage it as well. I don't need such a lot of support from you. But Krishna has put some people in that situation, let them continue. There is nothing wrong about that. But what the point Krishna is making here is that self-interest, swartha darshanaha, the women, they knew what is the right thing in life. That realization, swartha darshanam, it's called swartha darshanaha. Nanyadhva mai kurvandi kushalaha swartha darshanaha. That you already know what is the right thing in life. They have realized it. Kushalaha, they are experts at that. Why? Because the fact that they have come to me today, Krishna is saying to them, shows that they know what is the right thing. Their husbands didn't know. Although they discussed Shastram, they didn't know. They knew they had the fear of Kamsa. But these Vipravatnis didn't fear. They didn't get frightened about it. They came to see Krishna, and Krishna appreciated that through those words. He's appreciating that Vipravatnis. Nanyadhva mai kurvandi kushala swartha darshanaha akaituki avyavahidam bhakti matma priye yadaha. Then your love for me, he says, is ahaituki, without any selfish reasons. That you're not come here asking me for anything, nor you have any particular desire in your heart. Avyavahidaha. Then, and it is continuous, because these wives of the brahmanas, they are very absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Although they were not associating with Krishna like the way gopis did. They were living at home, but they heard about Krishna and Balram, and they have developed loving attachment to Krishna. And they were practicing it in their life, staying at home. So Krishna knows these things. So that's why Krishna is saying here, still in spite of my absence from you, you are continuing to execute bhakti. Keep that relation, attachment with me. Mai narbandha hridayaha sadhavaha samadarshanaha vashi kurvandi mam bhaktya satstriyaha satpadim yathaha. Then devotees, best devotees, who have fixed their mind in me, in other words, for whom, who have come to that platform of self-realization, and who are samadarshitvaha, mai narbandha hridayaha sadhavaha samadarshanaha, that samadarshanam has come to them. That means in this world, for them, Krishna is only present in everyone. That is samadarshanam, isn't it? Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini shuni chaiva shubhageja pandita samadarshina. That is the samadarshitvam. Samadarshitvam means that. Bhagavad Gita's definition is like that. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane. Brahmana who is highly learned and very humble. Very little, greatest humility. That is a symptom of vidya. Vidya's symptom is vinayam. Vidya's symptom is humility, in other words. One who is knowledgeable, the symptom is that humility, he has the highest humility. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane. And gavi hastini, in the cow and in the elephant. Shuni jaiva shobhageja, in the dog and in the dog eater. They are all belonging to different groups, isn't it? Dog is one group, dog eater another group, elephant another group, cow another group, brahmana another group. They are all different groups if you look at it, isn't it? Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavi hastini. Shuni jaiva shobhageja. Pandita, a learned person, does not see that body anymore. cannot see that body anymore, samadarshinam. Equal. See, for us, we see a dog and a dog eater or an elephant. In our mind, what is the first emotion that develops in us? Vedabuddhi. Isn't it? Vedabuddhi will develop. We'll say, it's just a dog. We'll say. And if you see a Brahmana, educated, very realized or knowledgeable person, we'll see him in another way. That is Vedabuddhi. We'll see in another way. In other words, whether it's a Brahmana or a dog or a dog eater, what impression it creates inside us, that's important. What impression it creates inside us is important. That is most important. You see? Vidya, that is what is to be taken note of. What he is not important. He may be a Brahmana, he may be a dog, he may be an elephant, it doesn't matter. What is the reaction of that particular person in us? That is what we should look at. Vidya vinaya sampanna brahmane gavi hastini shunichaiva shobhageja pandita samadarshina. That he is still able to see all of them in different bodies and still not allow to develop any thoughts inside, Vedabuddhi inside. We may also say that I also don't feel either, but definitely a Vedabuddhi, that is called Vedabuddhi. Vedabuddhi means based on the body, seeing people. Based on the body, seeing people. That is Vedabuddhi. And this Vedabuddhi is a very difficult thing to get rid of because that's how we are conditioned with. Is it not? So that's why Krishna is saying here, Bhagavad Gita says like that, Vidya Vinaya Samvare Brahmane Gavi Hasini Shuni Chaiva Shobhageja Pandita Samadarshina. He is only seeing equally all of them. Not based on the body, based on the soul. Based on the soul. Because it is like that, he says here, Sadhava Samadarshanaham. Then, one who has come to that stage, Nirbaddha Hridaya Sadhava Samadarshana. Then, Nirbaddha Hridayam Sadhava Samadarshana. This person who has come to that Samadarshitam stage, and such great devotees, Vashi Kurvandi Maam Bhaktya Sat Striya Satpadim Yadha. This is from Ambarish Maharaj's story. He says here, Vashi Kurvandi Maam Bhaktya, they capture me, Krishna says. Vashi Kurvandi Maam Bhaktya, how? Satpati, Sat Striya Satpadim Yadha. Very highly chaste women, through their power of chastity and purity, how they capture the heart of the men and keep them under their control. In a similar way, Krishna says, Satpadim Satstriyam Satstriyam Satpadim Yadha. That is the example Krishna has used while talking to Durvasa Maharshi about devotees. He says, Satstriyam Satpadim Yadha. Because feminine qualities are such that when they have that great qualities, like great personalities in the what you find great women in the in the Shastram, what you find in Ramayana, Mahabharata, like Draupadi, like Sita Devi, like Mandodari, like Ahalya, and so many other great souls in the Bhagavatam and Ramayana you will find. They were women, but they were such personalities that through their power of their qualities, they controlled others very well. Sastriyam Satpadim Yatha. Isn't it? So you can see their qualities at different places in the Bhagavatam and Ramayanam and Mahabharatam also. When Ashwatthama was killed, and Ashwatthama killed Draupadi's children. And Ashwatthama killed Draupadi's children, isn't it? After the war, on the last day of Mahabharata war, war was over, they went to the river, they all had bathed very well, there was nobody left anymore to get killed. Only three or four, Chadu Panjava Sheshida, four or five people were left after the war. Ashwatthama was one, and Duryodhana was lying there ready to leave, and then who else was there? Kripa was there. A few people were left, three or four people were like that. And Ashwathama, to please Duryodhana, went to the barracks that night. And when they were all in the river and the children were sleeping, Draupadi had 5 children. All 5 of them were killed by Ashwathama to revenge, thinking that he will please Duryodhana. That was the idea behind it. He came back and told Duryodhana, I have a Pandavayam, made this world even without trace of Pandavas anymore, left behind here. That is that revenge inside Ashwathama. So that Ashwathama, after doing that, Draupadi got very upset when she came back. What happened was, Arjuna, seeing Draupadi's distress, Arjuna was affected very much. Arjuna said, I'll bring his head, and sitting on his head, I'll perform the Udaka Kriya. Udaka Kriya means the rituals for the departed souls. So Arjuna started with the chariot, told Krishna to drive the chariot to find wherever Ashwathama is. They found him at the end, caught him, and they didn't kill him, because straight away Ashwathama released the Brahmastra weapon. Krishna gave the instruction to Arjuna, you know, your master Dronacharya has taught you how to contract the Brahmastram by releasing another Brahmastram and bring them both back together. Arjuna did that, and they tied Ashwathama together, hands in the back. They brought him in front of Draupadi. Avamukham karma jugupsidena, Bhagavatam says, Ashwathama could not lift his head. Ashwathama was like this for what he has done, which is such a low thing to do, isn't it? That to kill Draupadi's children like that, who haven't done anything to Ashwathama, but just to please Duryodhana, he has done that. So he says, Avamukham karma jugupsidena, Vedavyasa Maharshi says there, that karma jugupsidena, I have done such a low class thing. You can see there how much they respected dharmam in those days. They didn't kill people without any reason. That there was something, and if you did, you were looked down upon by others heavily. So avangmukham karma jugupsidena, avangmukham means that he couldn't lift his head. It was like this when he was brought in. And when he came there, Ashwathama came there, all the Pandavas were there, Draupadi was there, Arjuna was there, and Krishna was there. So in the assembly, this Ashwathama is standing there with his hands tied at the back. And Krishna asks opinion, what should we do with Ashwathama? Bhima says, there is only one thing to do, kill him straight away. And Bhima pulled out the sword. Bhima was ready for that, because he is tit for tat. That's his mood always. But Draupadi stopped him. Draupadi's reasoning at that time, you cannot expect that from an ordinary mother to come. It was such an amazing thing that Draupadi could say that. Draupadi says at that time, Draupadryascha chaturbhujaha. Draupadi looked at Krishna. And what did Draupadi see? Draupadi did not see two-handed form of Krishna. Instead, the four-handed Vishnu form he saw there. And Draupadi says at that time that Ashwathama has done such a thing, and my distress will never go away from what has happened. But when Dronacharya left this world, he entrusted Ashwathama to look after Kribi, Ashwathama's mother. If we kill Ashwathama, Kribi will also become like me. Why should she suffer like the way I am suffering? That is that nobility in Draupadi, which you cannot expect in these days, is there? As soon as something happens, what's the first thing? To get him somehow. And then the justice is done. If we finish him off, the justice is done. What justice has been done? So person has been killed already. By killing that person, justice is not going to happen. But we think our justice is like that. But Draupadi is seeing from a higher level. She is saying that, what will I gain by Kripi? Ashwathama has done this, such a thing. But let Kripi not suffer. After all, she is a mother like me. And she should not experience the same thing. And then she also said that, after all, Dronacharya was your teacher. How could you do this to him? So all these situations, you can see Draupadi's noble nature. Same thing with Sita Devi also, you will find in the Ramayana many instances like this. Sidadevi is that Sidadevi is Brahma Vidya personified. Spiritual knowledge personified is Sidadevi. Brahma Vidya she is referred to in other places. So that is there in the Bhagavatam. But so how they control their husbands. Sadgadim Satstriya Satpadim Yadha. That Ramachandra was attached to Sidadevi because of Sidadevi's that noble qualities in her. Same way, Ramachandra was wandering around in the forest when Sidadevi was kidnapped by Ravana, isn't it? Sidadevi was kidnapped by Ravana. So you can see these examples in the Bhagavatam. That is why Krishna is saying there, Satstriya Satpadim Yadha. In the Bhagavatam it says. So, therefore, this chapter finishes. That means this chapter on the what we have discussed here, the symptoms of a bhakti. Sri Narada Maharshi concludes with that. Only thing is, Narada Maharshi says at the conclusion that somehow or the other develop bhakti. Bhakti means love for Krishna, and that is why that love for Krishna is bhakti. In order to stress that point, Narada Maharshi explained this, that it should be beyond the three modes of material nature, it should be free from false ego, and it is executed internally, continuously, without any desire, either like a servant or like a lover towards Krishna. This is how Narada Maharshi concludes that chapter. Narada Maharshi concludes that chapter. And then this is the last chapter, the next one. Here, in this chapter, Sri Narada Maharshi is going to talk about the glories of a devotee, Bhakta Mahima. That is what he says. In the glories of a devotee, Bhakta Mahima, he calls it. So, the first sutram, he says here, Bhakta Ekandino Mukhyaha. That is the sutram. First definition of Bhakta Mahima, he says here, Bhakta Ekandino Mukhyaha. He says here. So, what is this Ekandino Mukhya? You will see this Ekanta Bhakti many places stressed in the Bhagavadam and in the Bhagavad Gita also. And here in the Bhakti Sutram also it says Ekandino Bhaktiya. What is this Ekandino Bhaktiya? Ekandino Bhaktiya is to come to this understanding, bhakti towards Krishna, only Krishna is there. And my relationship with Krishna. It's on that understanding only Krishna exists. Nothing else exists. In other words, it is a state where when one sees that in all living entities, Krishna's presence and our devotion to Krishna based on that understanding of Krishna. So, in the three chapters, in the earlier chapter, Narada Maharshi talked about Gauna Bhakti. And eventually he said that it should end up in Mukhya Bhakti. Even the Mukhya Bhakti. And Narada Maharshi also said that we should transcend that bhakti and come to the stage of premam, loving relationship. Sadhana anandaram avashyam bhavitvam aigandigatvam. That is what the definition of ekanta bhakti. Bhakta ekandino mukhya, he says. The definition is sadhana anandaram avashyam bhavitvam aigandigatvam. If you execute sadhana without any mistakes, Anyunam means no nyunata. Nyunata means there is no mistakes in executing sadhana. That is what is called a sadhana, proper sadhana bhakti in other words. Sadhana bhakti is also in different levels, isn't it? Everybody is chanting Hare Krishna. Many people are chanting Hare Krishna. Sadhana bhakti is there. But that sadhana bhakti, there is variations there also. In sadhana bhakti also, there is variations. Though sadhana bhakti without any mistakes. What does that mean? Without any mistakes, execution sadhana bhakti means. Sadhana anandaram avashyam bhavitum. If we execute sadhana bhakti without any mistakes means without any faults, in due course of time, you will reach that stage. That's what Narada Maharshi is saying. So let's look at that this way. What is sadhana bhakti without any fault in that? Every time when we execute sadhana bhakti, we have this understanding, I am doing it. Isn't it? I have chanted 16 rounds today. Or I have chanted 32 rounds. I have done my bit. or I have chanted 64. Even after chanting 64, still I am there in that. When this I am goes away from this, Krishna is saying that Jaramarana Mokshaya Mama Ashrita Yadandiye Te Brahma Tadvidu Krishna Madhyalpam Karma Jagiram. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying this, that when you are executing bhakti, saran, after this understanding that completely dependent on me, that while chanting, it is Krishna is chanting through us. If we come to that realization, that is that ananya ekanta bhakti. If we do like that sadhana in that way, in due course of time, Sri Narada Maharshi says, it will become ekanta bhakti. That means even while executing sadhana, we all have this false ego inside. That doesn't go away very easily. That is there while working, that is there in the bhakti also. That bhakti karma ahangaram will not leave us very easily. So that is why Krishna says there that jaramarana mokshaya, even while those who are looking for liberation, freedom from this material existence, mama ashrita yadandiye, he has to take my shelter first. That is more important. Taking Krishna shelter and executing bhakti, sadhana, that is the more key point there. Key thing in Bhagavad Gita, you will notice this. There is one or two places again Krishna mentions that. That mama ashrita yadandiye. Isn't it? Remember this 7th chapter, we began with that. Isn't it? What did we say? Mayasakta manapartha yogam yunjan mada ashraya, he says. That is the bhakti, proper sadhana bhakti. With ashrayam, shelter, Krishna shelter, executing bhakti. Otherwise, it's doing it as a karmam, every day 16 rounds I've done. Now, when is the result going to come? If you wait in that mood, you'll be waiting for the rest of the life. Nothing will happen. It'll be done. Done. It may happen in the sense, it's not rejected, but it'll take a very, very long time. That surrender, mada ashraya, as Krishna says there. And again, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says again, jara mama ashrita yadandiye. Depending on Krishna, one should execute sadhana. That way, if it is executed, it is freed from faults. No faults in that sadhana bhakti. That sadhana bhakti is pure. And that sadhana bhakti, when it is executed in that way, sadhana anandaram, if it is executed long time, all the vasanas will go away from inside, avashyam bhavitvam aigandhikatvam. And he knows very well at that time that the goal is Krishna. Goal is Krishna. In the sense that self-realization, realizing the truth, that is the goal. And that will happen in due course of time. So, that sadhana's goal is Krishna, isn't it? Sadhana's goal is Krishna. So, ekanta bhakti, the goal is Krishna. The goal is Krishna. And those who have reached that stage are, Krishna says, mukhya bhakta. And that is what he is going to talk about. Those devotees are what Krishna is going to talk about in this chapter. In this chapter. Remember this. Every time Krishna keeps stressing on this one point, goal is important. Isn't it? If the goal is not clear, whatever sadhana you may be doing it, you'll carry on doing it for the rest of the life. But the goal is not sure what you want in life at the end. We think sometimes, as mentioned this before also, people come to spiritual life and they thought that the ultimate goal is going back home, back to Godhead or self-realization, whatever it may be. That was the goal. It was decided in the beginning. But after a year or two, nothing is happening and there is not even any sign of going back home, back to Godhead or any sign of any self-realization. Meanwhile, the material conditions have changed. Either you got married, you had children, and you need money and family and all the kind of other things, social life, social recognition, and all that thing you need. So what do you start doing then? You change the goal then, isn't it? You change the goalpost. So it says that there are more self-realization and all is very difficult. Let's continue at least live like a devotee and see what happens. If it comes, it comes. If it doesn't come, it's not a loss. This mood comes then. So Krishna's point is, the goal is important. If there is no goal, spiritual life won't go very far. And that is why he keeps stressing, sadhana is not important, process is not important, goal is important. Because that is where we will trip. Not on the sadhana. Sadhana we may not trip. It's on the goal we trip. And many, many people who have come to spiritual life in the beginning with the goal of self-realization, later on it so happened that they wanted possession, money, control over others, wealth, and things like that, whole different direction, it's gone. And then at the time of retirement, they start thinking, what did I do in all my life? It is too late by then to change the goal again back to the old one. Then it's too late. Anyway, whatever has happened, let's look at the next time. When we get an opportunity, we look at it. That is how we get the next body. You'll get the next body. You don't have to worry about it. There's no need to worry about it. It's already ready. Material nature knows what is the desires inside. Accordingly, in another body, in a similar way, will be arranged for us. So that desire won't come up very easily to escape from here, to realize the truth. That is why Krishna is saying goal is important. Process, any process will work. Bhakti, jnanam, karma, everything will work. It's not due to the process that we are going to succeed in spiritual life. It's not the process that's going to make it a success. What's going to make it a success is this realization of the goal, and the goal should drive us in spiritual life. If the goal is strong, sound, then it will happen. Things will happen. That's what Krishna is saying. There is this bhaktiya egantino mukhya. So such a person whose goal is very clear and who is targeted, whose target is very clear, that person will make it. Krishna is, Narada Maharshi is also saying the same thing. Bhakta egandino mukhya. That mukhyam, that his bhakti is egantinam. Because he is alone in that. There's nobody else with him. He is alone. He's doing it. Because he's so clear about the goal. Many of us, clear goal is not very clear. We think we have to change the whole world and we have a lot of responsibilities in this world. After all that finished, if an offer is given by Krishna, you can also have liberation, it's fine. Just like in the Tesco, you buy one, you get one free, in that way. But that is not how Krishna is seeing. Krishna is not running Tesco. Krishna is running another type of business. Krishna is saying, Bhakta egandino mukhyam, that one who is attached to me, and one who knows the truth, and one who wants to realize the truth, he is dear to me. He will come back. Otherwise not. If he has other goals in life, let him carry on with it. So this is the one point this ekandino mukhyam is going telling us. Bhakti ekandino mukhyam, that is his goal is very, very clear. And not only that, his sadhana is also on the same principle. He executes his sadhana on the same lines, completely dependent on Krishna. Krishna is allowing me to do that, this sadhana is happening through me. That realization all the time is that there is no pride in that in anywhere. Many times we forget all these things. And we think it is still in our hands, spiritual life. Spiritual life is not in our hands. It is in Krishna's hands. If Krishna wants it, it will happen. That surrender all the time, all circumstances. Our effort is not the important factor. It is that surrender that matters in bhakti. Surrender that matters in bhakti. That is why any amount of programs and management and organizations you can run in the name of bhakti, if this one point is missing, that bhakti will never reach that state of perfection. What Krishna is talking about. Krishna is saying there. Because quite often we have this feeling that it's nice to arrange many things and they want recognition in the field of bhakti also. In the field of bhakti also they want recognition. I've done this, I've done that. Naturally people will say, oh, he has done so much for Krishna. So naturally Krishna has to pay him back now. That's how the world will look at it like that. That you can't do anything about it. That's how the world sees things. The world will see, he has done so much for Krishna. So Krishna must be owe him something now. Krishna should give him back. But Krishna is saying in a different way. Krishna says, whatever you may have done a lot. But if this understanding of what you are doing is not based on these instructions in the Madhashraya, and depending on Krishna, if it's not done, that ashram is not there, you see. That shelter is not there. Taking shelter of Krishna is not there. He has done a lot, but he has not taken shelter of Krishna. So that is not bhakti. This is the way Krishna sees that. From Krishna's position, that's how it is. And that is what Sri Narada Maharshi is also saying here. Bhakta ekandino mukhya. The bhakta ekandino mukhyam. That means, in other words, he has come. There's only one thing to do in this world, to realize Krishna, realize the soul. That's all. And Krishna is the only goal, nothing else. Nothing else matters in this world. One who has come to that realization, Sri Narada Maharshi calls it as Bhakta Egandino Mukhyam. Krishna is glorifying those devotees in that state. In that state. So if you look, this word Ekantinam will come in Bhagavatam in so many places. If you observe that, you'll see there. Gajendra, when Gajendra was caught by the crocodile, and eventually Krishna came, you know the 8th canto, famous story of Gajendra. Gajendra was rescued, isn't it? Krishna killed that crocodile, and there were two Gandharvas before. So, there he speaks to that Gandharva at that time. Egandino yasya, Gajendra glorified at that time, isn't it? Gajendra glorified Krishna at that time. He says, Egandino yasya nakanjanartam vanchanti evai bhagavat prapanna atyalbudam nacharidam sumangalam gayandam ananda samudramagnaha. You say, there, Gajendra is saying this to Krishna. Ekandino yasya na kanjanartam vanchanti evai bhagavat prapannaha. And it says, those who have come to this Ekanda Bhakti stage, they do not ask for anything, either dharmam, artham, kamam, or moksham. None of them. They come to that state. Ekanda Bhakti is that state. They won't even ask for liberation. And atyalbudam tacharidam sumangalam gayandam ananda samudramagnaha. They will be only absorbed in one thing, glorifying Krishna all the time and singing about Krishna and absorbing in Krishna and being immersed completely in that, enjoying it. That anandam, that ananda sagaram, ananda samudramagna, that ocean of happiness that they are experiencing, those devotees in that state. So, and that such great devotees who have reached that state, freedom from all desires, and such great devotees, they are the best Bhagavadottama. Bhagavadottama, Savai Bhagavadottama. Bhagavadam says that also, isn't it? That is what, who have reached such fortunate souls, says Narada Maharshi. In the next sutram, you will see that. Kandha varodharomaj ashrubi parasparam lavamanaha. Pavayandi kalani prithivim cham. That's what mentions. Kandhavarodha romanja ashrubi parasparam labhamanaha. Kandhavarodha romanja ashrubi. When those devotees, they speak, they're choked. And they feel very, emotional. Ecstatic feelings appears in their body. And tears come from their eyes. And mutually, parasparam labhamanaha pavayandi kulani prithivimcha. When they talk about Krishna, they exhibit all ecstatic feelings. And such devotees, they purify the whole world. They purify the whole world. Prithivim, kulani prithivimcha. The family they were born, they purify that. The mother earth, they purify them as well. They purify them as well. And so these are the ecstatic symptoms of a devotee in that state, one who is experiencing that. Ananda shidane trambu pulagigridaga atravan sada paraguna avishto drashtavya sarvadehivim. He says here that ananda shidane trambu, one who is, for whom from eyes tears are coming and whose body is experiencing that ecstatic symptoms, and sada paraguna avishto, and who is always attracted by Krishna's transcendental qualities, drashtavya sarvadehi bi, he is a very rare person to see in this world, who is in that state of Krishna consciousness. So, after saying this, he says here that such devotees, they have only one thing to do in this world, always talking about Krishna with other devotees. And to talk about Krishna to those who are interested in to hear about Krishna. And such personalities, they purify their own life. And not only that, the family they were born from father's side or mother's side. And many other generations also gets purified. So, and the place where they were born, even that becomes a holy place. That becomes a holy place. So that is about those devotees who are absorbed in Krishna. In that way. And Sukadeva Goswami says about this too, Parikshit Maharaj also. Prayenamunayo rajan nivrta vidishayethadaha nairgunyasya ramandesma gunanu kathane hare. In the second canto you will see this verse. My dear Parikshit, nivrta vidishayethada. They have gone beyond vidhi and nishedam. Vidhi nishedam means what? Vidhi nishedam means rules and regulations. Isn't it? Rules and regulations. That is vidhi nishedam. Or do's and don'ts. You can do this or don't do this. This is vidhi nishedam. That is one stage in bhakti in the early days. In the early days it is like that. Vidhi nishedam is there. They have come out of that. Sudeva Goswami says to Parikshit, they have finished with that. Vidhi nishedam is over for that. Then what is that? Nairgunyasya ramandespa ramandes gunanu kathane hare. They come to the nirgunam platform. That means they have gone beyond the three modes of material nature. And they come into the nirgunam state. Their love is pure towards Krishna. Bhakti is pure bhakti. It's not the bhakti under the three modes of material nature. When we are under the three modes of material nature, we do require these rules and regulations. Rules and regulations. Otherwise, what will happen is that a person who is in tamogunam, he may make the claim that he is also developing pure love for Krishna, although he may be in tamogunam. So that is that vidhinishedam is necessary, because in bhakti these three modes of material nature exist till they leave us and we come to the nirguna bhakti, or that bhakti which is beyond the three modes of material nature. Till we reach that stage, vidhinishedam will be there. Will be there. Tektva sudharmam charanambujam harer bhajanyapakeda pade tadoyadi. Bhagavadam, Sri Narada Maharshi, when he spoke to Vedavyas in Badrikashram, before he wrote Bhagavadam, he says to Vedavyas, Vedavyas asked this question, what will happen to those who don't follow vidhinishedam, rules and regulations? What will happen to them? That was the question. If somebody... Because, see, the debate between Narada Maharshi and Vedavyas was based on certain conclusions what Vedavyas has arrived at. Vedavyas' point was, he compiled Mahabharatam to instruct the world about dharmam. Isn't it? Dharmam is the main topic discussed in Mahabharatam. And Vedavyas always felt that dharmam is the key to proper life in this world. He believed that very strongly. Vedavyas believed in that very strongly. So he asked Narada Maharshi this question. If we accept your philosophy like this, what you are telling me, that no rules, no regulations, everyone has come to the pure bhakti state and they become pure devotees like you have mentioned about yourself. Because Narada Maharshi has talked about him, what happened to him, isn't it? Vedavyas was thinking at that time, what will happen to the world if I say to them that all these rules, regulations are unnecessary? In other words, what he is saying is Mahabharatam was unnecessary. We can just throw it in the bin. And let us take to the Srimad Bhagavatam. What will happen? So he had this doubt in his mind. So he asked this to Narada Maharshi, what is the solution to the problem? So Narada Maharshi says to him, Tektva sudharmam charanambujam harer bhajan. Somebody has given up all activities in this world. And tetva sodharmam, he has given up his sodharmam in this world. Charanambujam harer bhajan, he took to completely to Krishna consciousness. Completely surrendered to Krishna. Bhajan, but he did not perfect it in his life. But in his normal living in this world, he followed. He kept this principle, completely surrendered mood, he served Krishna. But he did not attain perfection in the life due to vasanas or prarabdha karma, what was there. He did not get to that stage. Pate tato yadi, he has fallen, finished. Is he over then? No. Yatra kava bhadrama bhudamushyakim kovarta apto bhajadam sudharmadam. Narada Maharshi says to Vedavyas, yet what is lost for him? What has he lost? He hasn't lost anything, because yatra kavam abhadram abhudamushyakim, that although he has not succeeded anything in this life, he hasn't lost anything. Actually, he has gained. What is that? Kovartayapto bhajanam sudharmadaha. In his next life, it is guaranteed that he will make it. In his next life, he will make it. This whole thing of dharmam, bhakti, karmam, jnanam, is all these things are to be understood properly. Otherwise, utter misunderstanding will come. So, Narada Maharshi's point was, Kovartai apto bhajanam sodharmada. One person, he has executed his dharmam very well in this world, but he had not developed bhakti. What is the use, he says. What is the use? So, dharmam, when it is executed properly, eventually it should turn into bhakti. This is the principle. Dharmam varnashramanam shudipada vihidam. That kurvando andarvirage vikasati janai handaryando labhande. Bhakti will come as a result from varna dharmam. That is required. But one who has executed simply thinking that execution of dharmam is the only business in life and simply stuck with dharmam, what is the use? Narada Maharshi asked that question. But what we have to remember here is that, as Narada Maharshi himself says in the Bhakti Sutram, that till we are unable to surrender to Krishna to that level, what he has expected us to do, if we don't surrender it that way, and still continue with our material life, material desires, everything, and then it is very difficult to develop bhakti properly. That is the important point there. The proper bhakti comes from surrender. That surrender is the key thing. In Narada Bhakti Sutram also is talking about the same thing. But because in Bhagavadam, he wanted to, Vedavyas to make that clear in the Bhagavadam, that dharmam is not the end. There is higher to them, that is bhakti, which has to be executed. And in order to develop that bhakti, dharmam can help for developing bhakti. Dharmam varnashramanam. Varnashrama dharmam develops bhakti. That is why Varnashrama Dharmam, Prabhupada also said that should be there in the society. He even at one point said, I could not bring that Varnashrama Dharmam into the society, which is a more difficult thing to do, because in a society like today, if you talk about Varnashrama Dharmam, everyone is confused about it. Some people say, what should we do with Varnashrama Dharmam? They all understand that Krishna is saying this also. Varnashrama Dharmam is necessary to develop bhakti. It helps to develop bhakti if it is there in the society. But if it's not there, what can you do? What can be done? So, it requires a big thing it is. This Varnashrama Dharmam is not a simple thing. So, that is what it is saying here. So, Varnashrama Dharmam was discussed in Mahabharatam. It's based on Varnashrama Dharmam. Everything is spoken there. And Srimad Bhagavatam, when we come to knowing very well, that is why Bhagavatam is specifically targeted to the pearl age of Kali, where we have no dharmam existing in any level. And therefore, whatever dharmam we can execute, we'll execute. But attachment to Krishna consciousness is more important. And there could not be. That's what he says here, that that prayana manayo rajan nivrta vidishedam. So, vidinishedam is a part of Varnashrama Dharmam, isn't it? Vidinishedam. Nairgunyasya ramandesma gunanu kathane hare. But if a stage comes, you can't execute any Varnashrama Dharmam. That is modern world, isn't it? You can't execute any Varnashrama Dharmam. Varnam itself is a very complex subject. It is if you understand the subtlety of Varnam, you will really admire where it's coming from. The beauty of Varnam. Beauty of Varnam. Because we don't understand subtlety. Unfortunately, it developed into this caste business and also it developed into another way. But the subtle thoughts behind it, when Krishna implemented Varnashramam, Krishna says, Chadurvarnam Mayasrishtam, isn't it? Krishna's creation it is. So it cannot go wrong. It has a very beautiful thoughts behind it, which we discussed when we discussed that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Chadurvarnam. What is the beauty behind that Varnam? So, Krishna spoke about that there. Krishna also said that then the easiest way to extinguish the vasanas, so many nice things in there. Traditionally, in Varnam, that the Varnam was followed by family. A particular family in a particular Varnam followed that tradition, isn't it? Say, for example, a carpenter or a blacksmith or a physician, doctor, whatever it may be. In all those professions, if you look, you will see that if the family is traditionally following that, The person who takes birth in that family will have that tendency for that. It's quite common, that tendency naturally. And for him to pick up this, develop that skills in that particular field is not difficult. Because from the day he is born, this is what he is seeing. His father does the same thing, grandfather does the same thing. And same way, all others also. So therefore, he doesn't have to go to university, spend 7-8 years studying another skill to develop that skill. This is how Varnashram was based on this principle. Apart from that, is one thing. First thing, he will not have a conflict inside. Most of the people in the modern world, you know what the main conflict is? We hear about Varnam and Ashramam, then we start thinking, is this the right thing what I am doing in my life? We all have this problem. We go and study medicine, but inside it's all engineering mind. We study engineering, but inside we are like a lawyer. The vasanas are like a lawyer. And similarly, all professions, occupations in this world today is causing confusion among people's mind. They don't know what they have to do. So what do? We ask the children, what do you want to be when you grow? But we have already decided what he should be in the future. And we are telling him as though we are giving him a choice. You have no choice. The only choice is that I'll tell you what you should be at the late. We will say all these things, but it is nobody's fault. It is the society is like that. Why should it be like this? Krishna says, you have made your life miserable by doing all these things, instead of trying to adjust things like this. So, Varnam is based on this principle that if whatever vasanas inside, that is why he was given that body in that family. Suppose he is a farmer by nature, you will see some people, they have a lot of attachment to the land and the trees and the plants and creepers and food that they grow. They will study very minutely the plant and the life in the world like that. Such people, you take him out and putting in the stock market in front of a computer. Will he be happy? He can never be happy, can he? He will always be miserable. He'll be doing it still, but in his mind, he will curse himself. Why have I come to this? Through whole life, he will work like this. So you can see Krishna's scientific approach to this is that according to your vasana, you get a birth in a particular family. And from there, you continue with that. And that way, you don't have to make your life very hard. That is proper Varnashrama system based on that. Now, it is similarly, you will notice also, this is happening all the time. It's not one person or two persons. It's happening in the whole society. This is happening. Someone who took birth in a Brahmana family, he had chanted Gayatri and saw the simple life, Agnihotram at home, and lived that austere, pure life at home. Suddenly he put into the management of a big computer industry. And he has to go to the management meetings. And he goes and sits there with 10 or 12 director board members. All are liars, cheaters. And he has to sit in the middle of them. What will he do? Inside it is killing him. It is killing him inside. See how much damage we have done to ourselves by not following Krishna's words. This is all our modern world inflicting, killing ourselves in the same way. If it goes on like this, what happens? Then people will think, whichever makes the most money, I'll take that. That is my varnam, they will say. They will go after that. If engineering or doctor or lawyer or banker or share dealings or whichever is giving the highest money, I'm that. That's my varnam. That's my varnam. That's how the modern world has become now, isn't it? And everybody is suffering. Parents are suffering, children are suffering, the management also suffering. And so this way, Varnashramam, Dharmam, and it is explained nicely in the Bhagavad Gita and so many things, you cannot deny Varnam was a wrong thing. But unfortunately, those who have instituted the law against Varnam, especially in India now, they are against Varnam. And that's how they managed to destroy everything, by saying this way, that the parliament has passed the bill, you cannot mention about Varnam, you cannot. But you go to anywhere in the society, you will never see marriage happening between families outside the Varnam. They will still stick to that. Parliament may pass the bill, that's another thing. But when it comes to practical living is concerned, it is not going from inside, it's still there. You cannot get rid of that. So Varnam is very much a thing, very much in us. You cannot take that away from us. And therefore, better to follow what Krishna says about Varnam and Varnashrama Dharmam helps. That's one thing. Secondly, when you change, so therefore in the modern world, the important thing is to find out one's own Varnam, what it is, what is the vasanas inside in us, and that helps a lot to be satisfied in life. The other side of it is that when you do not know what is Varnam, what will happen? Krishna talks about that in a very frightening way. What does he say? Paradharmo bhayavaha, he says, uses the word. And every time devotees are asking, why is he so frightened about if I do somebody else's work? Why is he so much frightened about it? You know that verse, don't you? There's a verse in the Bhagavadam, in the Bhagavad Gita. Paradharmo bhayavaha. Trying to think what's the line before that. Shrayan sudharmo vigunal paradharmal sanushtidal. That's the verse. It's a very interesting verse. And then you can see this varnam, when Krishna is given to this world varnam, how thoughtful the thing behind it was. Shrayan sudharmo vigunal paradharmal sanushtidal. I think that is that verse that comes. Shrayan sudharmo vigunal. Yeah. 1847 and 335. Two places it comes. 1847. Isn't it? 1847. What does Krishna say there? 47. Yeah. Shrayan sudharmo viganal paradharman sunishtidal. Svabhava niyadam karma kurvan natnodi kilbisham. Krishna is saying there that Arjuna, Shrayan Swadharmo Nigunal Paradharmal Sunishtidal. It's always better to execute one's dharmam. One's dharmam, on the other hand, than executing somebody else's dharmam. Why? Svabhava Niyatam Karmam. Karmam is controlled by your Svabhavam. Svabhavam is nature. For example, a person, you can see this in life also, practically, if you look at people's way of doing different things. One who is Svabhavam is very much like not interested in much of a material life. It's a little bit of indifferent to material life. If you give him some work, which is in relationship with something like cooking or cleaning or any activity, he'll just do it, thinking that, oh, I just have to do it. That'll be his mood. Because his svabhavam is not in agreement with the karmam he is doing. Whereas if the person has that nature, if his svabhavam is in tune with the karmam, then his karmam will come out nicely. He'll do the karmam properly. Person who is doing it, he'll do it properly. Whereas you are forcing someone whose svabhavam is not that, and you are forcing him to do a particular karmam, and karmam will also get affected by that. The karmam won't be done properly. That is the point Krishna is making here. Remember, all these things Krishna is speaking on the understanding that human life is meant for self-realization, not on any other principle. To facilitate how to develop spiritually, how to realize the truth in this body before we lose it. That is why Bhagavad Gita was spoken, isn't it? Krishna said this to Arjuna, that Shishyasteham Shadimam Tvam Pravanam. When Arjuna surrendered, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna spoke for this reason, to know how to realize the truth. So that is why Shrayan Sudharmo Vigunan Paradharmal Sunishtidal. And in the earlier verses, you will see, I think in the third chapter also, Krishna says 35. There Krishna says there that the same thing in a way, that Sudharme Nidhanam Shreya Paradharmo Bhayavaha, he says. He says, Shrayan Sudharmo, the same verse in two places in the Bhagavad Gita. One place he says, Shrayan Sudharmo Vigunal Paradharmal Sunushtidal. Then, Swadharma Nidhanam Shreya Paradharmo Bhayavaha. So your own dharmam based on your vasanas, what you do, is shreyas, is auspicious for you. On the other hand, even if it is not done well, doesn't matter what dharmam it is, Krishna does not give importance to what kind of work we do. That is no meaning as far as Krishna is concerned. For spiritual realization, what will help us? That is most important. That is why I say, Swadharma Nidhanam Shreya. If he does your Swadharmam properly, it is much better than Paradharma Bhayavaha, he says. Why does he say like that? Paradharmam Bhayavaha. He says, if you go and do somebody else's karmam and you take responsibility to that and start doing that, karmam is frightening. He says, bhayavaham. Reason is this. You see, when karmam through varnashramam is to be understood, karmam is done for extinguishing the karma vasanas inside. If you have different vasanas which are not in tune with the karmam what you are executing, what will happen? Those vasanas will never get finished. They will remain. If you execute the karmam in line with the vasanas, the vasanas will be executed and extinguished. Vasanas will go. Because that karmam, once it has come to the vasana stage, it can only go if it karmam is executed. Otherwise, vasana cannot go. That is why karmam executed based on the vasana will help. But when you do somebody else's paradharmam, what will happen? These vasanas won't go. New vasanas will be created from the paradharmam. Another kind of vasanas will come. So actually, instead of dissipating or dissolving the vasanas, you have increased the vasanas from karma. This is the scientific side behind it, behind this karma yogam and behind the science of executing karma. That is basis on that only varnashrama dharmam was spoken. All these things are kept in behind the scene. That to tell us chaturvarnam mayasrishtam guna karma vibhagasha. Gunam and karmam, Krishna has spoken about that. Now, when we don't take these things into account, what will happen? We are saying, guna karma vibhagasha, that I have got all the gunam and karmam of a brahmana or a realized person or something like that. You make false claim then, isn't it? Which I don't have. So falsely people will start making claims. And then they will come to spiritual field and they will start declaring themselves. They say, we have got the gunam and karmam, and Krishna is only talking about gunam and karmam. Krishna is not only talking about gunam and karmam. You have to see the verses before that if you want to understand that verse in the Bhagavad Gita. What normally people do, you'll see this mistake all the time. We want to condemn everyone who has taken, say, birth in a Brahmana family or Kshatriya family or Vaishya family or Shudra family. It doesn't matter. Naturally, there is some reason why they got birth there, isn't it? It's not without any cause it has happened. And there will be some trace of those vasanas in that person. It's not higher or lower. That's not what the idea is. The idea is to say that you got a birth somewhere and there are some vasanas inside. And that vasana is tend to be, bound to be, that vasanas of that person who have born in that same family will be there in him to some extent. So Krishna is saying that, keeping all that, he is saying to us, that Shayanso Dharmo Vigunan Paradharmal Sonishtidal. That verses are there before that to tell us that Chadurvarnyam is all based on these things as well, not only with Gunakarma Vibhagasha. If we say, declare Gunam and Karmam, and we start ourselves saying, my Karmam is all very spiritual, all my Gunams are all transcendental, so you have to recognize me as a spiritual personality, that won't work. Because after some time, this person, because he had no vasanas inside, he will fall and the whole thing will become a catastrophe. It will become a calamity altogether. We see that all the time, isn't it? So it's not so simple as we make of it. That guna karma vibhagasha, we can take it and interpret it the way because it suits us. No, there is a certain reason behind everything. Nothing in the Vedic system is not created in a very loose way to just seeing the people. Vedas are seeing our subtle body, and that's where the whole thing is beginning from. And that subtle level, it is functioning. It is functioning. So that's why Krishna is mentioned like that. So, atyalbudam tacharidam sumangalam gayantam ananda samudramagdaham. So here, he says here to Parikshita also, that, so we are going back to something else now. We started from here, ended up somewhere else. So, so this Varnashrama Dharmam is Varnam Ashramam was spoken in the Mahabharatam. And Sri Narada Maharshi says there, Varnashrama Dharmam also has its own limitations. When you study Chaitanya Charitamritam also, you have to keep these things in mind. Otherwise, how many people are taking it is that all the other scriptures are all outdated now. They are not valid. Only Chaitanya Charitamritam is valid because Chaitanya Charitamritam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying like this, that, oh, talk to me beyond Varnashrama Dharmam. He is talking to whom? To Ramananda Rai, isn't it? In that conversation between Ramananda Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramananda Rai comes to talk about pure bhakti at a later date. So Arekaha, he keeps saying like this, isn't it? So first, so many things he spoke, and Varnashrama Dharma also came there. So Varnashrama Dharma also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, that belongs to this world. That is true, it belongs to this world. It's there. No doubt about that. But when you bring that in combined with Bhagavad Gita, you have to see from both sides. This prema bhakti, pure bhakti Mahaprabhu has presented to this world, that has also come from Vaidika bhakti, from Varnashrama Dharma. It's not separate, some new invention. No, we shouldn't take it like that. All the acharyas are consequent, continuous process of self-realization. Depending on the different times in the history, they have spoken different things. It's not that the other thing is lower, but this is the only answer to the problem. That's not how it's to be understood. So, we will stop there today, and we'll, after 10 minutes or so, we'll continue with Bhagavad Gita.